Rugby League on Proper Sport.
We're back. It's that time of week again. Monday night, 6 until 8. 2 hours live rugby league debate. This is the only place in the world not giving away tickets for the Challenge Cup final. But don't let that put you off. We're talking all things rugby league. News breaking. Ryan Hall's Leeds Rhinos career is over. He suffered an ACL injury, out for the foreseeable future. Our wishes with him. How on earth can Leeds on the comeback trail be on the front page of the League Express? Nobody's bothered. Why don't they know? What about the London Broncos making a big step towards the Super League? And come in witness, your time is up. Give someone else a go if you're not going to make a reasonable fist at being in the Super League. Huddersfield Giants are making a good fist of it. There, if they beat Hull this weekend, could be just 4 points off the top four. Is the race for the four over just yet? Or can Wolford's men put a real big dent in the top four? We will find out. Wins this weekend for Wakefield, who battered Hull. Are Hull on the beach already? They've given up. Lee Radford's team have given up. Knocked out of the cup. They might as well have gone home there and then. And St Helens are wobbling, tired. They look tired mentally and physically as Huddersfield beat them last week. The Wolves beat the Dragons in a not-so-warm-up for the cup final. Let's face it, Catalan didn't care, did they? And Wigan got over the top of the Castleford Tigers. The Wolfpack with a narrow win over Halifax, and what a big win for Salford. Pressure on Hull KR this week. Witness. Seriously, it's time to give up, fellas. And in League One, the battle continues. The points difference just 10 now. Between York and Bradford at the top. At RL on RY, you can get in touch with the Proper Sport Facebook page. This is Rugby League on Proper Sport.
You're listening to Rugby League on Proper Sport.
Ah, it's good to be back, fellas. Are you all right?
You back, the boss. The boss is back.
The boss is back. I had a listening last week. I listened to the podcast. Very good. I was impressed. Well done, boys.
Thanks very much. Yeah, but the boss is back. The team's back for the first time in a month, isn't it? And I tell you what.
No golf today, Scotty? No one wants you to play golf?
No, well, the way I'm playing...
Or have they seen you play golf and you didn't get asked back?
Yeah, I've been binned off. I'm a little bit like Witness. I'm a little bit like Hull at the moment. I've been binned off. But I tell you what, one thing...
Hold on. Have you got a set of clubs and some golf balls and some tees?
Yeah.
Well, you're better than Witness then.
Maybe so, yeah. And I tell you what, though, there's another thing being binged off. And by half past six, I might end up strangling my great mate Phil Calper because
all right.
What needs binning off? It's got to be binned off.
Go on.
Kyle Ablett must never play standoff for Leeds again. Never. Never. Kevin Losey. Kevin, you've got my number. Give me a call. I'll come and play for Leeds at standoff at 53 years of age. Please. Bin it off, Mark Wilson. Phil Kaplan, we've got to bin it off. John Owens will be absolutely cursing. He will be absolutely cursing. Phil, why can't we play a proper number six?
Five words. The ends justify the means.
God's sake. Did you put together the front page of the League Express today, Phil?
Leeds Weekly.
Why would I do that?
Well, I'm just asking.
No.
People joke about Leeds as the local TV news programme for this area, but... Well done, Leeds, you won a game.
Well done, Leeds, you beat a championship team at home.
Not sure that was the story this week.
No. We can only start with the Broncos. What a win, Thursday night. And finally, Scotty, a team that knows how to kick a drop goal. And not only kick a drop goal, set up for a drop goal and have a plan B for a drop goal.
It's easily done, isn't it? It's easily done when you've got the right people sending it all up from there. And I say it was an absolute piece as well, wasn't it, from Jared Salmon. But I think overall, when you look at London's performance, certainly for 80 minutes, you know, Witness themselves, 14-4 up, looked as though they were coasting. And then I say that they brought the main guy in there, Liam Finter, to bring that calmness, to bring that exposure. What's he going to do? Absolute slicks, an absolute nightmare of a pass. Great play by Dixie taking the set. But what you saw with the London Broncos, and I say I put it out there on my Twitter site regarding Danny Ward being the next Leeds coach, to be honest with you. And I move on to that.
Chester, he was getting the gig last time, wasn't he?
Well, to be honest with you, Chester's not going to leave Wakefield yet. But what I will say...
Well, beating all doesn't really count these days.
And I'll put the right... I'll tell you the right coaching team for Leeds in a couple of minutes. But Danny Ward, when you certainly see him in the stands there with Jamie Langland, it's like with the players... They just love playing for him, and he lets the players express themselves, and certainly for our 80 minutes, the desire, the purpose, what they're showing, and certainly the team spirit, what they showed, was brilliant, and the opportunities, what came along, they never gave in. When they were 14-4 down, you could still see that the composure, what they were showing, and they fully deserved that victory at 21-20. And yes, I'm right, so as I mentioned, Danny Ward being the next head coach of Leeds. All right, then people are saying, Scoey, you're absolutely bonkers. It's far too early for him.
They'd say that anyway.
I'm going to say that was not to do with your London.
It's far too early for him and his inexperienced. Well, I'll tell you what then, what about this as a coaching team at Leeds? I don't want Sean Wayne to leave Rugby League. I don't want Wayne to leave Rugby League. So what about this as a coaching team to take Leeds forward for the next 3 years and win the silverware? Sean Wayne head coach, Danny Ward and Robbie Burrow. What a coaching setup that will be for Leeds Rhinos, and that will get us back in the top four. That'll get us challenging for the Challenge Cup, and it'll get us challenging for the Super League title.
Hold on a second. There's more chance of Richard Shorite and I becoming the Leeds coach than Sean Wayne. I'm going to put that on record now. And I'm not being rude, and we've obviously seen, Wayne Bennett's not getting a new job. Get him to Leeds. You know what, Scott? We'll come on to Leeds in a bit, right? Because I've missed putting the booting on Leeds for 2 weeks, right? Seriously, you can have whoever you want in charge. That team ain't good enough, mate.
I agree.
That team next year is going to be in the bottom half at the very best. At the worst, could be in the bottom four again because they are not good enough. And it's all right. Look, no injuries. All right, Watkins is injured. He's been injured all year. Yeah, tough.
Rich, so back to London.
Hold on. Yeah, one sec. Before we go back to London, I've got to tell you about the fantastic Pontefract race there.
Because A, it says you're at the bottom of the screen if you're watching on Facebook, and B, I'm going to be there. I'm not part of the entertainment. I'm actually paying. Because people moan when we don't pay to go do stuff, so just for the avoidance.
Anyway, I hadn't brought this in. Mr. BBC over in corner.
Yes.
Eh? Mr. BBC.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Well, can I just say, their coverage this weekend was disgraceful, because Rugby League was never on the BBC Sport homepage behind judo and all this kind of crap. So, yeah.
You chose the most successful week ever for Rugby League to be on the BBC, and you were the face of the BBC.
I was the face of Rugby League.
With a cravat and everything.
I had people emailing me, texting me, saying, how can you ever speak to him again?
Well,
that's what they were saying.
I understood the position of Mr. Rugby League at the BBC was open at the moment, so I thought I'd take the opportunity.
Right, sell okay. out. Sell
did,
out.
Did you not feel slightly dirty?
No,
or?
I had to have a long shower afterwards. Yeah.
Did you? Very good.
Especially when I did, I promoted the Challenge Cup semi-final coverage and we got no bloody thanks at all afterwards. Not from the BBC. I'm not saying the BBC. But
there you go.
Because we weren't really working for the BBC.
Well, we just were. Kind of, you were. Don't kid anyone.
Backdoored our way onto there. And now we're robots.
The picture that will be pinned on your grave, that Richard Shaw, I will make sure of it. Right, go on anyway. Pontefract Racers.
Oh, yes. Today's show is brought to you by Pontefract Racers. In the Zone Family Day, experience the final brilliant family fun day of the season with tons of special events on Sunday, August 19th. That's this week. In the Zone fun days are the perfect way for all the family to learn more about racing. You can walk the course, get a behind the scenes tour and meet famous horses from the past. There's also a fun fair, face painting, circus and Hunt the Golden Horseshoe competition. And not forgetting about the racing, there's the £60,000 Highfield Farm Flying Fillies listed race. Easy for me to say, with some very speedy equine ladies on display. To book your family package tickets for Sunday the 19th of August, that's this weekend. Today, head to ponty-racers.co.uk.
Good stuff. Thank you for that, Richard. Hopefully, it should be a cracking day as well down at Ponty Races. Right, London.
Yes.
Team of the week.
I just wanted to say, we talked a lot last week about the transfers that were done in the window before the eighth started. Did we miss the fact that one of the best ones might be Eloir Pelissier going to London? Allowing James Cunningham to go to halfback and Sammet to come off the bench.
I'm not Pelissier, I love Phil.
I thought he made a difference.
Yeah, I think he's a germ, if I'm honest with you.
A germ?
Yeah.
That's what they used to call Wolford, isn't it?
I'm not a policier, man. Did you see again late tackles and all this? I'm not a policier. I think he could maybe London's downfall, like, discipline wise. To be honest with you, I do. I'm not a policier, man.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Alex Walker at fullback thought was excellent. Scottish international again. Another kid who's come through the London system, and that's the other thing we need to pay credit to. That there were a lot.
Who was the 20-year-old forward? Was it him who scored the try? Wasn't it? The second rower.
Daniel Harrison.
Yeah. How good was he?
But again, people like Matt Davis, who's going to Warrington. You know, there are some really good kids.
Who's the captain? Is he the prop or the back rower?
Jay Pitts is the captain.
Batty got the man.
How good is he? Batty.
Well, again, he's served an apprenticeship there, hasn't he, at Sheffield?
How good is he?
But it proves, and we mentioned it last week, it's an ongoing thing about. You can talk about structure all you like, but for me, it's participation. We've got to have more people playing the game. Some of the players in that London team who've come through the London system show us what we should be doing for the future, because there is talent out there in abundance. And no doubt we'll get on to Lee at some stage. But again, really interesting comment from Kieran Pertill about an Irish trialist that's come over. There is talent out there that we have to harness. And if London's victory over Widnes, even allowing for the fact that Widnes have just forgotten how to win, the number of London players in that team, it should be heartening for the game. If we could do something about it.
What it was clearly evident, I mean, what's the last bit of it? I was travelling home. What was evident, it was a team that was used to winning found a way to win. The team that was used to losing found a way to lose going.
But to be honest with you, well, they were 14-4 up and cruising, weren't they? You know, and I say the reason why they brought in Harrison Hanson and certainly Liam Finn is for that experience and that composure. And if I'm honest with you, it's not the young kids who are like witness down. The young kids are doing an excellent job, if I'm honest with you, from there. And certainly that fullback to... What's his name, Phil?
Ashley Bott.
He reminds me very much of a very, very Joe Lydon. You know, the way that Joe was when he first started out. You know, he was very, very quick and all that, and, you know, fearless, and that young kid from there. So, for me, it's the experienced players who were letting witness down, and certainly Finney. You know, he's been brought in for his tactical awareness. He's been brought in for his composure, and, well, that pass what he threw out from me, you don't expect it from a quality player like Finney, do you?
But going back to, I think Mark's right, that after that mistake, which seemed to make all of the Widnes players crestfallen on the basis of the fact that they got into a position where they might have been in charge. They still got it back to 20-all, but they couldn't close the game out in the last minute. That's a team that's forgotten how to win.
Yeah, totally agree. Get your interaction in. I want to ask a question as well to the listening millions. millions. Does anyone feel sorry for Derek Beaumont at Lee?
Not really.
No, remember all the stick he gave Bradford when they went bust, and basically his club's doing exactly the same.
And why should we, to be honest with you, know that this year he's had all the help what he can get. He had a £500,000 payment, which nobody knew about until it got made public. So I don't think there should be any sympathy whatsoever towards the Lee Centurions.
It's not his fault. It's Ralph Rimmer's fault. Because everything's Ralph Rimmer's fault. It's not his fault. But Rugby League needs people, I am told, like Derek Beaumont. Because they've got money. And people, I mentioned this on social media earlier, people saying, oh, Rugby League, everything's built on sand because we're relying on wealthy benefactors.
Well, I had that argument with a formerly well-known Rugby League person.
Sport's the same, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Every sport's the same. And Derek Beaumont walks away. Well, that's his choice to do so. If he don't want to spend money on Lee, so what should Ralph Rimmer do to keep him in the sport? Why do we need to keep him in the sport? What is the benefit of Derek Beaumont in the
rugby
sport?
Rugby League does need benefactors. One of the huge issues that the sport doesn't generate enough money. But if a benefactor doesn't spend his money wisely, that can't be the fault of anything other than a benefactor, surely.
Like appointing someone as director of rugby and signing bad players.
Cunningham was the beginning of the end for him, wasn't it? They were doing all right till he came in, but, you know, That's Derek's fault, and he's got to pay the thing. I just look at, you know, we got the big statement through saying about, you know, statement, whatever it was. Yeah, dissertation. I'd say you'd have knackered the printer if you'd have printed that off, wouldn't you? You didn't need a new ink cartridge. But he's going on about this, that and the other. He's spent the money. They've bought poorly, haven't they? Exactly. You know, I'll tell you what summed them up for me, and you flagged this up, right at the start of the season.
Correct.
When he made the statement, we've got a team of NRL and Super League players, and I'm thinking, mate, you're in the Championship.
Correct.
What are they going to do for you away at Barrow when it's chucking it down or whatever? And it's just like, you just... Billy Big Dinners in the wrong division, mate.
How did Halifax manage to get into the top four? Not having £500,000 parachute payment, not having...
Well, was that parachute,
not,
was that
not having a full-time player.
Yeah. Was that parachute payment bigger than the Halifax budget? It can't be far off.
Well, we've had out.
What would be interesting is what terms and conditions, if any, were put on that parachute payment. Because, again, we're looking at part of the sport that wants to take over and run the whole game. Well, the only two decisions that I can see that they've made at the moment is to give Lee £500,000 and give Rob Elson whatever his salary is. So far, splitting the game in two has had a negative financial effect.
We've got this ridiculous cult of personality where we're making owners into celebrities and... Well, no doubt we'll come on to the appointment of
Sean Edwards and Adrian Lamb as coaches at Wigan, but it seems to be we've forgotten about players and we're now trying to sell season tickets on the back of the coaches that we're going to be bringing in
a year's time. Come on to Wigan, they're getting it and all. They're getting it, don't worry about that. London, are London going to get in the five? I'll say the five because I think the £1 million game would be a big step forward for them. And our witness gone, Scully.
Yeah, witness have gone. Yeah, it's simple as that. And let me just as well, like, now, Mr. Hamlin, the League Express, is, you know, he's sending quite a sting letter about myself, to be honest with you.
Hold on, I haven't enjoyed this.
Well done, Mr. Hamlin.
Yeah, sent a sting letter.
So, it's a nasty one.
But also as well, Mr. Hamlin, I have never, ever said that witness haven't been a great rugby league club. Witness have been. Now, let me just rephrase that. They have been a sensational rugby league club. And you know, when you go back to the players, and I say the great friend of mine in Bill Ramsey, the late great Mick Adams, the players who I played with for Great Britain, i.e. with the young Joseph Lydon and Andy Gregory and Tony Myler, and then with the Martin of Fire days.
Hume brothers,
you know, the sort of thing. And yes, a witness.
Kurt, big Kurt.
In the late 70s and 80s, there were the Cup Kings. Everybody wanted to be a Widnes support because of the style of play, what they did. They were sensational. Absolutely sensational. So I do know that Widnes, with the great history, what they've had with the great players, the great competitions, what they have won throughout the many, many years, but Mark Wilson, Phil Kaplan and Richard Shawright, that was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Look at Widnes now.
What are Widnes doing? They're stealing £2 million a year out of the RFL coffers.
That's what they're doing. Mr. Hamlin, now, what are you bringing to rugby league? What are you bringing? You're bringing absolute nothing.
They're not quite nothing. I give them a big tick for the young kids.
Yeah, there are some kids that are coming through.
I'll buy into that.
But that doesn't mean you're getting a Super League, does it? And I agree with you here. He's saying, you know, you said it'd be better for Super League if Widnes were relegated. I completely agree. I tweeted that after the game. They've had their turn now. 2 years they've been bottom.
Yeah.
2 years they've contributed nothing.
Correct.
For 23 weeks of the regular season. They got out of jail last year. If there's any sporting justice, they don't even win a game in this eights now.
Well, they're not making the fourth or fifth spot. They're getting relegated.
We don't know that yet.
Who coached that great Widnes team you just reeled off?
I couldn't care less.
Oh, I just thought I'd mention it.
Vince Karelius. What have you been like, Phil?
Vince Karelius.
Yeah.
Vince Karelius.
Yeah. Alan Tate, he was part of that great team.
Move on.
Is he in your worst ever Leeds team, Alan Tate?
No, he's not, unfortunately. No, John Gallagher's fullback, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right, very good. Right, go on then.
John Basner.
Let's get some feedback from the listeners.
I enjoyed Vinty's here. He says, paying players more money won't make them better players. They'll just have better cars, houses and sleeve tattoos. More money to spend at Nando's and Costa.
Why are they not sponsors of our sport, Nando's and Costa?
Because we don't ask them, that's why.
Yeah. Have they been asked?
Next year when John Wilkins Coffee Shop sponsors the Challenge Cup or something. Tom says, two more wins and London pretty much guaranteed to be in the £1 million game at least. Hull KR Salford and particular Widnes must be bricking it. Toronto and Toulouse up automatically, says Tom. London versus Hull KR £1 million game, he asks. And I'm sorry, Gary, but Leeds need more than Sean Wayne and Danny Ward as their coach. The players are awful. Nobody coming in that is worthy of the players going out, such as Ryan Hall. Won't be long until Watkins goes, and then Leeds really will start panicking. And the football club's good now, so all the supporters will go across to there.
Yeah,
until October when it all falls apart.
Yeah, what does Marcelo Bielsa know about rugby league? He must better work. He better do two jobs at once.
His team's in Argentina now.
Yeah, exactly. He knows all about it, doesn't he? Any more for any more?
Yeah, Scoey abuse now. David says, please tell Scoey that just because someone was a cracking player doesn't mean they'll be any good at coaching.
Well, he is the example of that, isn't he?
Tracy says...
Hold on. Do you want me to go back to Muirfield days with the stats? Do you want me to go back?
I had a chat, I was working with Leon Price the other day. I had a chat with him about how he found it going to the coaching.
Yeah.
And I said, I know Scoey struggled with it, you know, that some of the players weren't as good. And he was like laughing. He went, well, if you've got to get past that, otherwise coaching's not for you. And I went, yeah, that's probably why Scoey's not a coach now.
Scoey has actually...
What do you mean to say? Hey, you're absolutely rubbish. Yeah. You can't catch, pass and tackle. You're a professional player.
I think he's willing to overlook that a little bit more than you were.
Yeah. It's called psychology. That's the bit you should have learned.
Psychology? Oh, do me a favour.
Big fan of the show, Tracy says, Scoey's actually lost it if he thinks that coaching team should be at Leeds. I mean, we're all enjoying the reign of terror of Sir Kevin James Lowe's the water boy. It's all good, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think I'll be going to Hedgenwood before the end of the season. Might go for the Toronto game. As Craig tells us, breaking news, Ryan Hall out for the season. So that's his Leeds career ending on a sad note.
I hope that that isn't a major ACL that's going to delay his debut at the Roosters as well.
Because he's been
Need a reconstruction.
Ryan Hall's been Leeds' best all season, hasn't he?
He has.
He's been outstanding, and very, very sad way for him his Leeds career to finish. But this year, he has been one of the shining lights of the Leeds side this year, without a doubt.
Almost a dream team candidate playing in a Porto.
No.
Yeah, there's plenty of
wingers.
There's plenty of
wingers. Not for me, Phil. Working hard and playing well does not guarantee you getting in. He's a winger. He doesn't score enough tries because they never pass him the ball.
Which is a problem.
Yeah. Put him in a decent team, Ryan Hall would still score 25 tries a season.
End of.
Claire says the game can't rely on sugar daddies.
Why not, Claire? Every other sport does. Yeah. Who do you think pays all the bills in the football?
This is the problem, isn't it? This is
Which teams at the top of Super League don't have sugar daddies?
Well, exactly. Yeah.
I'm sure they must all realise that they're never going to get any money back. Just the feeling of helping out a community or whatever. Yeah, Jack Walker did it at Blackburn, didn't it? He wasn't in it to make any money back. It was to give back to the people of his town.
Some do. Some like the Sky money.
Well, there's that as well. Elsewhere, do you want to talk about Toronto now, or do you want to talk about something else?
No, we'll talk about them in a little bit. So we went round the room then. So Phil, Widnes are going to make the five. I'm going to call it the five.
They could still make the £1 million game, but they're having lost to a Championship team. They now desperately need to beat a Super League team. So suddenly their game at Salford this week is almost do or die for them.
What about London? Are they going to make it?
Can I answer that after Sunday when I've actually seen them in the flesh?
No, you answer it now.
I think the best they can hope for is the £1 million game.
So, all right, then, I'm going to give you that. And who finishes below them, then?
Halifax will.
Yeah, Halifax will. Widnes will.
Yeah, that's two. There's only one more than he.
Toulouse might.
I think Toulouse might, yeah.
I think they are the most entertaining team I've seen this season for an hour. I think they're fantastic coach Sylvain Hull admits that this is a bit of an adventure for them, that even this group of players have never been exposed to seven games on the bounce plus all the travel that goes with it.
And what did we say before? The teams that have had a couple of goals have always improved in the second year.
Absolutely.
They
and that's why improved. I think London might well be in the £1 million game.
Yeah, because they've had the crap. Yes. They know what's coming.
Yeah,
I agree with that. Rich?
Elsewhere...
I was asking you the question. Are Widnes going to stay up?
No, Widnes are going down. London... They've lost 17... The only team they've beaten recently is Coventry. And as I said on the last tackle, if Coventry played them again now, I'd be back in Coventry.
Hey, hold on. Coventry's a good side to be. Exactly. Keith.
Keith Lee who won this week.
Coventry have got team spirit and, you know, they've felt winning recently, which Widnes haven't for a while. But it's all right. They won the Lancashire Cup in 1970-whatever, so they should be staying in Super League.
Yeah.
A load of crap, that is. The last page in the League Express today, by the way. They must have been desperate to fill space because some utter rubbish in there.
Why, have you got in again?
My column there, are you?
I was regretting not sending one in because I thought he definitely would have got printed this week. It's like a one-line letter gets in. Poor old Martin. Kev says, will any team going down get 500,000 like Lee?
No.
What happens if two went down?
Where's it? What?
Could happen.
Where's the money come from?
And when are we going to hear about the structure for next year?
We've been asked that as well.
Well, I think we've got 2 weeks. that season tickets will go on sale for the vast majority in a fortnight if we haven't decided a structure within the next 2 weeks, whoever that might be that's sitting round a table with a blank sheet of paper, then surely we have to have the same format next year.
No conspiracy theories from Chris, but he did ask, are they just waiting to see which four are set to come up? No, I'm...
No, Chris.
Chris,
you can't do that.
Come on, Chris.
You can't do that.
Keep them coming, Chris. Of course you can.
Kevin asked, are Lee about to lose their ground to Man United's women's team?
Well, the Lee Sports Village is independently owned, isn't it? The Lee Sports Village,
and apparently
the bills.
They've already booked some games in for next year that would have clashed with Lee.
Tough, isn't it?
Mm. Right. There you go.
Am I bringing more fans?
Maybe.
I mean, got to save Lee, haven't we? Hashtag save Lee.
When you look at that Lee team, Widnes team that played on Thursday night, if we're absolving the young players of blame, who are we pointing a finger at?
Right, well, so hold on. There's an easy way to do this, right?
Well, I'm looking at the team now. That is a team that shouldn't be getting relegated on paper.
All right, let's go through the team then. Ollie Ashall-Bott, if you were a Super League coach, would you be interested in taking him?
Yes. Without a doubt.
Yeah? Patrick Arvan?
No chance.
Won't get a game at Keighley.
He might as well be sat with me in stands.
He won't get a game at Keighley.
He might as well be sat with me in stands.
What would that game mean you did? And he dropped the ball about five times. Was that Witness Callum, wasn't it?
Could be any of Witness's game this season.
It was useless then, and it's useless now.
So we won't want him. Chris Deneneau, he'd get a team, wouldn't he? He'd get a gig.
Yeah, maybe.
Matt Whitley, he would.
Yeah.
Charlie Runciman?
Been disappointing. Came with big potential. Played very well last year, but not
Joe
so good
Mellor?
For me, he's the enigma. That when he plays...
But is it because he's been playing in a team for 2 years that's chucked it in?
Possibly.
Is that dragging him down?
Mm.
I think there's a lot more to come from him better side. There's a lot more to come from him.
Liam Finn, he's obviously got to play in League One. Chris Houston's retiring. Aaron Myers retiring. Gil Dudson, he came in for a lot of stick at the weekend. I didn't see enough of the game.
He's not. No.
Chris Dean, being injured a lot, hasn't he, Chris Dean? I think he would get a fringe place. Harrison Hansen.
No. Whoever gets promoted will go for Harrison Hansen.
Right. Weller Haraki.
He's had more clubs than Jack Nicholas,
hasn't he? All right, we're going through this. Tom Alderson.
He will pick up another club.
Oh.
Haraki.
Well, you see, again, this is the problem with the game. There's too many journeymen in the game, and realistically, are just getting a gig. And the
Tom Alderson will get a gig.
I like Tom Alderson.
McGrath Luluai again.
Probably not.
No.
Danny Walker.
Yes.
And Charlie Gubb, who's just come in. He got injured, out. Is he badly injured? Or?
It looked bad.
Yeah, we've not heard of it.
But I'm saying on paper, that's a team where most of those are either young aspiring professionals who teams would take a punt on. Some are retiring. But the bulk of the professionals in that team shouldn't be in a relegation battle.
No, I disagree. I think there's too many youngsters and too many at the end and not enough in the middle.
Mm.
And I think that's a big problem.
Could I say, they've gone 17 on the bounce now without a win, so, you know, they sacked Dennis Betts. You know, and I say, I was at the game when, you know, the Widnes fans literally they were baying for him. You could see the hatred, you know, and the board had to make a call on sacking him. But has that been the right call?
Has it been
the right call?
Rewind back 2 years. Kevin Brown got sold the eve of the season. No replacement in before they agreed to sell him. Now, I get he was on a lot of money. Maybe they wanted to get him off the socket. And also they felt obliged to let him go. Mm. That's fine.
Mm.
Get your replacement in first, then let him go. I don't see the Premier League teams going, oh, you want to buy our best player? Oh, you have him then, and what we'll do is when everyone knows we've got all this money, we'll go and try and buy someone else. No, they go, well, actually, we'll go sign him just in case he goes. And they gave up. That I went to the game, the first game of that year, and it was like the club, the fans knew what was coming. Mm. And they'd just given up. And that's it. And it comes out of the fact that they haven't got any money. Right, they can't spend any money. I think they're in deep trouble. Have they lost
their backer?
Well, they have, haven't they? He's walked away, hasn't he?
He's emigrated, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Everyone on Facebook's telling us, because we obviously missed this piece of breaking news, that Weller Haraki signed for Hull Kingston Rovers. So there you are. The churn continues.
Has that been announced yet?
Oh, well, I think he has.
He is going to look at.
Yeah, believe
it. See, what does Weller Haraki mean to anybody?
Well, move on. Well, no, I'm not bothered about talking about him. But I just think Widnes, You put them in the Championship, they get 2,500 every week, and they'd be winning again. And that, I think, would build the club again, rather than just getting beat every week. Because what's the point? If they stay up, what is their aim next year? To try and finish eighth? Give it up. Give it up. It's not worth it.
I mean, well, to be honest with you, when you look at it this year, look at Widnes, because the philosophy is quite simple, Mark. It's simple. We're getting three goals for staying up. We can lose as many games as we want. Right, so finish bottom, and then they get a second chance by from a point of view to qualify for the £1 million game, and then the £1 million game, they get three shots at it.
Yeah.
So there's your philosophy, and there's your answer, isn't it?
Yeah,
but it's wrong, isn't it?
Yeah. No, totally I completely wrong. Agree. Totally agree.
How many goals do they want?
Well, don't forget, though, that we are missing out the important issue of player welfare, despite the fact these players are too not good enough to stay up in, as Scully says, three opportunities, but... In the old system of relegation, when there was no player welfare issues, that's all right.
I can't wait for the year when we do got one up, one down, and there's four teams could get relegated in the last 2 weeks of the season. Is everyone going to say, oh, what about the player welfare? What's going to happen?
You see, West Yorkshire business, Pound World's closing, isn't it? All those people who've lost their jobs, they go to work, they work hard, selling stuff to people, they're losing their jobs, so I don't know what they're getting paid. No one's coming out and saying, oh, I feel really sorry for the people at Pound World, are they? And yet we have to feel sorry for these people whose livelihoods are in their own hands, if they're any good or not.
Fair point.
It's all right. No.
Fair point. I can imagine the outpouring of grief when we lose our jobs.
Well, yeah, no, I can't wait.
Especially you.
We're off to the BBC anyway. William says, they're already flogging season tickets at Widnes.
They're already flogging them?
Yeah. I don't know if they're cheaper than Challenge Cup final tickets yet, but go get your...
I'm going to the Challenge Cup as a fan next week, so I need some tickets.
I'll go enter the 40-20 competition. We've got 10 pairs to give away.
Hemel are signing for £10.
Are they?
Yeah. It's on Twitter and everything. We are the only people in the Ribble League media not giving away tickets.
Well, they don't like us.
We could be the world's worst ticket touts of the RFL at the minute, unfortunately. If you had bought a ticket for the final at full price, would you
buy
a ticket?
Can you return it and just go buy one on Groupon?
I mean, this is
Don't a lot of businesses these days say if you can buy the same product cheaper, we'll refund the difference? So if I'd bought a £50 ticket in good faith in February, I would be ringing the Rugby League saying, fine, can I have £35 back now, please, then?
I don't think I'd be quite as polite as that if I paid £50.
I think if we're being honest about this, what we're basically saying is the teams that make the final determine the ticket price. So if next year Salford and Widnes, in the unlikely event, play at Wembley, presumably we can have it at fiver. But if it's Wigan...
Salford and Widnes in the final, I'm going to say it now. I'll pay for a bus. I'll pay for everyone to go.
I get the full hospitality now. I'm not going.
But if it's Wigan and St Helens, we're charging £50. You can't do that. You either have an event or you don't have an event, irrespective of the teams that are there. And if 35,000 people pay £50 and go, that's the state of the sport at the moment.
Yeah.
Don't cheapen your product. It's called Ratnerism.
But I want to buy tickets for the international at Ellen Road later this year. Right. Why would I buy them now? Knowing that...
There is a chance it could sell out.
But I'll take that. How many people are thinking, I'll take that chance?
It is poor, isn't it? I was listening to you boys last week. You know, I heard all about Ralph's Plan B.
Carl's got a couple of tickets for sale at £80.
80
Carl,
quid? Do I get a game for that?
Good luck, Carl.
Do I get a game and a medal?
Limo back and a few bottles of champagne as well thrown in.
You're an RFL registered player now. Do you not get some freebies or anything?
I got offered some for the semi-final, so I'll read into that what you will.
If there is an upside to a 9-week gap between the quarterfinals and the semi-finals, you work on the basis that Castellan might win their semi-final. You've actually got 3 months to come up with plan B, not the day after the game.
Exactly. I agree. It's ridiculous. They should have been thinking, right, we need to really up the ante here. We need to up the ante and get some tickets sold.
This could very much happen, you know what I mean?
But the other thing is, even if when we've seen Hull and Warrington play, 65,000, 70,000, we know there's going to be spaces at Wembley, no matter who's playing. Why weren't we going round the schools before they broke up, saying, you know, there's 10,000 tickets to give away to schools? I don't mind if a new audience is coming in to experience the game, but don't try and give them away when the schools are already on holiday. Yeah.
Oh, what the RFL should have done is had about £300,000 on Catalan at 4-1 to win the semi-final.
Mitigate their loss.
Yeah, and get the money back that way.
About Nigel.
But is it any different to the Stobart deal?
No, it's worse.
Where we're totally undervaluing one of our crown jewels.
No, it's not. You're not undervaluing it. You're undervaluing it and annoying the loyal fans
that
you've got. Exactly. I can't believe it.
Weren't the tickets on Groupon last year or something? Was that something
else?
Oh,
they probably were. But
John says, and this is where we immediately cut this argument down, does giving these tickets away... Oh, it's gone off now. Show that Catalans are not good for the game or bringing anything to the sport. Of course they bring something to the sport. They bring a different angle. Widnes! No one goes to watch Widnes or Salford.
Yeah. What would happen, John, if Batley had got to the final? And it could happen. They're in the competition. They could have got the dream draw all the way through.
I think you'll...
Or Dewsbury. Well, they wouldn't have taken 30,000 either, would
they? I think you'd find as well that if the final was still in May, you would get at least 2,000 or 3,000 people from Catalan. The August month of holiday in France is a real issue. Everybody books that well in advance. Nobody is going to come back on the last weekend of August from a pre-planned holiday with very little travel and travel at its most expensive and go to Wembley. If you had the final in May and the Dragons got there, they would be bringing parties of people. Absolutely.
Mm. Oh, well.
It's going to be... What's it going to be like for the players walking out and seeing...
How many tickets have they actually sold? Do we know that yet?
They won't tell us that, Matt, will they?
I think we saw from the attendances that were announced this weekend that season tickets were obviously included in... And it wasn't the physical attendance in the ground.
Yeah.
So will we ever know? Will they?
So if they're giving away tickets, then all those will be included in the gate, whether they go or not.
Yeah. And this is not the year to have control over the Olympic Gallery either, I wouldn't have thought. Because in the past we've included them because they've been sold by Wembley, but we bought them back last year.
Yeah.
So
I can get a deal on those as well. I've seen it on social media.
Oh, have you?
It's front of box.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, Scoey chatting to you before the game, telling you what's going on.
Box at this rate.
I'll pay more if Scoey doesn't chat to me.
Derek asks why they don't do early bird tickets for a reduced price. I think they do.
They do.
But unfortunately now those offers have been extended. And people have bought them for 50 quid and now can get their tickets for 50.
Yeah.
It's plan B.
It shows a lack of confidence in your sport.
If your default
position is give it away.
It's a lack of leadership.
It is leadership, organisation, planning, marketing, whatever
it is.
Terminology you want to put it. It's lack of professionalism.
You know what annoyed me and certain media outlets praising Ralph Rimmer for having the idea of having a double-header semi-final. Did we not mention that 3 years ago on this show?
Yeah.
And I also think Richard might have to close his ears. We need to praise the BBC as well because they were prepared to put five hours of rugby league on prime-time television.
No, they did. I've praised them.
They did.
And they even had proper
Rich is a beat man now. Yeah. He's a changed man.
They even had proper sports coverage of the Women's Cup final on his highlights during the Leeds-Warrington game.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm saying. You know, it wasn't just Ralph's idea because you can have, unless you've got a media partners prepared to do it, the idea doesn't happen.
They need, and I'm still banging the drum, there needs to be a better trophy for the Women's Challenge Cup final.
Oh, because
it looked like
the
Wigan Sevens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you go to raffle at Bradford Civic Hall on Saturday? So got all the old Saturday. Trophies out?
I saw Mick Gleddell's tweet, though, of all the
went to try and nick a few.
Yeah.
he's now helping police with their inquiries.
Yorkshire Cup's about where it belongs.
What, in your bedroom?
The home of rugby league. which someone has tweeted in very mischievously. Phil says, I have a question. If Leeds do go down, which they're not going to do, sadly, will they be saved by kicking Wakefield out because of their ground? Oh, come on, Phil.
Leeds won't be going down. Won't be going down.
No, not this year.
They've solved the stand-off problem, so they're not going down.
Conspiracy theory. Liam, what are the chances of a newly promoted team being at home to Wakefield for the first game of next season? # conspiracy. Can't wait for it. Toronto versus Wakefield in March in
10 foot of snow.
In the snow, yeah. Be like we're playing Widnes again.
Yeah.
Speaking of stadiums,
yes.
Huddersfield Town apparently want full control of the John Smith Stadium.
Yeah, I think.
Did we not say that?
I don't think we said it publicly. Did we? Was that a chat we had after the show?
It might have been.
Yeah, that was our understanding that when they secured their place in the Premier League that they were looking
they've
to buy
out.
They've
got a cash windfall for that, don't they?
Yeah. Although, looking at the way they played on Saturday, they might want to look after
that money.
They're going
to be in the Premiership next year, are they?
Yeah, but they've got an extra 130 million quid, haven't they?
What, parachute payment?
Well, they've got another 130 million
this year. They get a parachute payment.
And then they get the parachute beyond, don't they? So
I didn't read Carl's tweet message on Facebook properly. He's got these 80 quid tickets, but he's given them away for free.
Eh? What?
Well, he says, you can join me for free if you want. 80 quid tickets.
Have you got four?
Whereabouts? What pub are we meeting?
You're in the Royal Box, aren't you, Scott?
Yeah.
You're presenting the cup at the moment.
No, because no one is, are they?
If I present a cup, it's all it needs, I'd never get to it, wouldn't it? I'll say that before anybody else says it.
Well done, Gary.
I'm going 1-2, it's Andy Burnham.
They won't dare let you present it, because you might run off with it. Like you said, nearest you've ever got.
Melt it down.
A bit arse, lads. Come on.
People.
When you turn up next week, or the week after the Challenge Cup final, with solid silver hubcaps on your car.
Belisle smelting works.
Pimp my ride.
Jamie loves the whole Wembley experience, especially 10 quid for a hot dog. But do you think it's time to look at a different venue further back up north? Not nice to see plenty of empty seats for such a great showpiece for the sport.
We've got to stop doing it down, if you know what I mean. We've got to do it up.
But also as well, mate, we've got to change the date. It's simple as that. The date is the biggest problem.
Absolutely.
The competition's not a problem. Yeah. Players still want to be at Wembley. Yeah. Coaches still want to be at Wembley. Support still want to be, but it's the wrong time of year. So when are the RFL going to start listening?
Absolutely.
We've got to start listening.
And the BBC want to move it as well.
Absolutely. The broadcaster wants to move it. So why are the RFL being so stubborn about it?
I think having had a statue erected outside of Wembley, it wouldn't be a great time to leave, to be honest.
No.
We don't know who is presenting the trophy, do we?
Well, we're led to believe that Neil Fox has turned down the opportunity to present it on the basis of the fact that it's the 50th anniversary of the water splash final. He didn't want all the attention to be on Don.
Yeah.
I mean, there will be an amount of attention on Don anyway, because I think the documentary's being shown in the morning of the final, and you know, you need to commemorate anniversaries. But I think, you know, Neil doesn't want the focus to be on the Fox family necessarily, so I believe he's turned it down.
I thought about that as well, and I thought to myself, well, to be honest with you, Neil, if Don was still with us, I would imagine Don have been saying, do you know what, mate? Do you know what, brother? What a real honour this is for the family.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not really convinced with that, Phil, to be honest with you. Mm. I say, if Don was with us, I would imagine he'd been saying, Neil, come on, you're representing Rugby League and also to the Fox family.
And
what a great
honour. Square the circle. 50 years later, we put it right by you present the cup.
I'm a little bit surprised, to be honest with you, Mark. Yeah. I couldn't understand both sides of it.
Having seen that documentary, and I don't know Don Fox, I didn't know Don Fox, I don't know Neil that well, but I can see why that has happened.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Mind you, it should be agreed that he's not on the statue.
Yeah.
Well, he is.
Conspiracy. Oh, he's got that plaque, yeah.
Well, he's aggrieved, and rightly so. Eh?
And if he didn't want to present the cup for that reason, then we'd all back him.
Yeah.
Well, he wouldn't say that, would he?
No. I'll say on his behalf.
Nick says he's
made a mistake.
Wembley, so that's exciting. So if you're going there. And David says, if you want a London hotel, there's plenty going cheap on St Helens selling sites on Facebook, all purchased on the day of the day.
Well, what did we say 9 weeks ago? All the St Helens fans, they're booked now, but as we said, around about 5 weeks up to the semi-final, hey boy, oh boy, the way the Catalans are going, don't write it off. And as I say, the week before, the legend called it, Catalans by seven.
This is the same bloke that called Toulouse by seven this week as well.
Yeah. And so, I also called
in fact,
Catalans
didn't your predictions have everybody by seven? Where did you think the drop goal specialists were coming from this week?
There's plenty about it. Hey, listen, wait till you see my predictions this week, the scores I'm going to put this week. I love a reaction.
By three.
You know what? You know what, Scully?
Just to put
it into perspective, we all joined the media tipping competition, and I did check this morning. I've overtaken Richard right at the end, so
yeah,
I'm top.
Badly.
I'm top. You are bottom, and that includes the lads that press the buttons that don't even know about rugby. They're even above you. That's how bad. Yes, they are. That is how bad you are. That is how useless you are.
I want to see the proof.
Right, you've got it on there. Get it up on there.
I want to see the proof.
You are useless. You couldn't tip cement.
I am not the bottom of the league of this office. No way, mate.
You are. I'm telling you, you are.
No way, mate.
Danny Parkinson's in front of you. He doesn't even know what rugby is.
And he hasn't even placed a prediction for 6 weeks.
No, he's given up. He said, I'm above Scott. It doesn't matter. It's like the fish and chip challenge. All we want to do is beat you. We're not bothered where we are in the league. As long as we finish in front of you, we've got some credibility.
Before I forget, I've got two things to say. One, go and support the Bronte Barbarians Gala Day this Saturday, 10 a.m. at Castlewood Rugby Union Club. I've been taught to say that. And two, we've got a great addition to our merchandise. You know, you can buy the SCOE t-shirts and all that. We've been inspired by New York Rugby League, who of course are a team who don't exist but are selling merchandise.
Yeah,
you can now buy. We're setting up teams around the world.
Yeah,
we're going to.
Is it like a franchise? A proper sport franchise?
World Super League, we're going to call it.
Yeah.
No one's going to sue us. I think we'll be all right. And we've taken our first franchise.
When you say us, who do you mean?
Me and Tom Maguire.
No, sue us.
Oh, sue us, yeah, me and Tom Maguire.
No, that's right.
We've taken our first team, as you can see if you're watching on Facebook, to North Korea, the Democratic People's Republic of North Korea.
We're big in North Korea.
We're the people's game. We are big.
This is real. I'm going to get one. I'm going to wait next week if it arrives. Pyongyang Pylons, first team we've set up. Use the promo code KIM to save 10%. Shop.propersport.uk. If New York can sell T-shirts, so can we.
Yeah.
Oh, no, fellas, Rich, you just mentioned a shout there. Can I just mention a shout here as well? It's, while we're on the Wembley theme, Jason Jarvis has texted me and saying his walk starts next Saturday, 83 miles to Wembley from Leeds.
Hold on. 83 miles to Wembley from Leeds.
183 miles.
Starts next Saturday, 83 miles.
What's he walking on, a motorbike?
Well, he's a Balal lad, so he's not very good at geography, is he, to be honest? 83 miles. He's trying to make a fool of me. Anyway, so he's 210 miles at Wembley from Leeds team. Evan walking for the Benevolent Fund and Connor Lynch Foundation. Cheers, Jarvo. So have a great walk. Make sure, I tell you what, Jarvo's a big size, so he better have some decent training shoes. As well. But hopefully they're going to raise a few quid and enjoy the walk, fellas. Enjoy the walk.
Get stuck in.
And a shout out to Widnes PDRL as well, because they're just starting on the road to forming a team, Hulk KR.
As we said last week and have said for the last few weeks, if we want to attract more people to our sport who may have money or may not, we need to attract as many different people into the sport, whether playing or spectating. PDRL, LDRL, Women's Rugby League, Wheelchair Rugby League, Men's Rugby League, whatever, all these different facets of our sport can bring more people in.
Just think this next week, if it had been Bradford Featherstone in the league, the Northern Rail Cup
absolutely.
or the Pyongyang Pylons Cup, they would be 70,000-80,000 there, wouldn't they?
Of course would. You look at that. You look at Bradford and Featherstone. There's the next 20,000 fans there. It's because Bradford would take 10 and Featherstone would.
What about if a Cumbrian team went? A Barrow or a Workington or a Whitehaven? That region is desperate to go and support teams.
To be honest with you, the fan base, what we have at Keighley, you know, at this moment in time, it's not what it is, but with the fan base that's out there, I would imagine if Keighley got to a Wembley final, there'd be 5,000-7,000 people there.
I don't want to spoil it, but the next team in the Rugby League expansion series, the World Super League, is going to be a Cumbrian merger, but you'll have to wait to see we design for that one. Okay. That will be coming soon.
You got a backer?
No, but it doesn't seem you need one, really. Just say you've got loads of money and people will believe you. So that's what we're doing. And we look forward to lots of success.
I meant for your merged Cumbrian team.
Yeah, we're going to show all.
You're going to call it the Lakers by any chance?
No.
Also, as well, Rich, is the gentleman from Hull last week, you know, because I'm sure we're going to be talking about the performances from, like, the gentleman from Hull who offered for me to play a game of golf. And also, as well, he was saying regarding Hull that they're not that bad. Well, was his name Andrew or was it Dave?
I can't remember.
Yeah, I think it was Andrew or Dave. So tweeting again, mate, and just give me your opinion on the performance on Friday night, will you? Because they were absolute garbage. And I'll say, I'll play it at golf. I'll have Mark Wilson as my caddy because he's not a bad golfer himself, so I'll advise him on a 6-7.
Hold on, I'll just clip that bit out. Can you just say it again a bit louder?
Tweet him, mate, will you please? Because I want to know what your opinion was regarding the whole performance on Friday night, because it was absolute garbage.
I need to find someone sent us a T-shirt from a Gary Schofield Rugby League Fun Day earlier, which. You know, we love. Here it is, Gareth. He listens in Hong Kong. Gary Schofield's Rugby League Fun Day.
And the Certificate of Merit. That's impressive.
With a picture of.
We need to bring that back now. Yeah.
Well, I've said to Tom, can we remake these? And we're going to try and do that as well. So, obviously, without the new balance.
I'll tell you what, the Fun Days, I used to run there with Damien McGrath, who was the Leeds guy from there. And the Blue and Amber Club, that's what I set up from there as well. The amount of kids that used to attend. Brilliant, great Fun Days, sensational.
Mm. So you're coaching in Canada now, Damien?
He's in the...
Is it Canadian Sevens?
Yeah, I think he's in Rugby Union.
Canadian Women's, I think.
But a very smart kid as well. But he was a great development officer with Damien. And as you mentioned, you know, seeing all this talent, we mentioned it last week on the show.
Well...
You know, 8 to 10 development officers all around the country, and we will spot this talent. Instead of having journeymen about, there's plenty of talent out there who are 18, 19, 20 years of age. Let's get them into these championship clubs. Let's get them into the Super League clubs.
Kieran Pertell's comments, talking about whether he's going to have a job or not, who's playing for Lee at the moment. The Centurions had another new addition to their squad this week in rugby union trialist Ed O'Keefe. Pertil explained he's an outside back who's played professionally in Ireland and Italy and was looking to get into rugby league. He contacted us earlier in the year and we've offered him the chance to come over and train with us to see how he goes. He's impressed this week. He's only here for 2 weeks initially, so I'm not sure whether he'll get a game, but he looks to be one of those untapped talents that you can find in rugby union and bring into the rugby league community. Why are we not doing that?
Well, we have brought someone back from rugby union. And this is someone that's been mentioned earlier on Facebook.
Is it Callum McClelland?
By Jules, yes. Interesting move by Leeds. Lot of hair on his way to Leeds. Lily out on loan at the Bulls for a year. And Milo in his first season. Now he's another halfback. Is it the start of a shake-up at Leeds? McClelland can apparently play fullback too. We've already got two fullbacks. Or is Kev thinking of playing him in the centres now, as if Moon is going home according to the room bill? But a few months ago, we were all, oh, woe is us. He's gone bugger off to rugby union. But now he's back, because rugby union is rubbish. And he's come back to play rugby.
I asked a question earlier.
Can he play this kid?
Yeah, well, he was the most talented under 16 last year.
So he's only 16, 17, so he's not going to be playing for Leeds. Surely not.
Yeah, he'll be playing at standoff, and Lola here will be playing in the centre.
What, 17 years of age?
I think he'll be 18 next year.
So Leeds are going to play an 18-year-old?
Well, why have, Jack Walker was an 18-year-old.
I might have missed this earlier. Why have Cass not re-signed him? Why now? Have they had the chance and didn't want to re-sign
him? I would imagine more than one club was interested in him. Because when he left,
why did they not do a Yestin Harris and put a thing in saying we get first dibs when he comes back? Now they might have done that. I don't know, but I'm asking that question.
I think only his agent could answer that.
Move.
Only his agent could. I know when Cass lost him, they reckoned he was the most talented halfback they had in the club. Although they had a lot of confidence in Jacob Truman, who'd come in from Bradford. Mm.
So he won't get a game at Cass, would he? No, he won't get in front of Truman and Gale.
But yeah, I think he'll be the starting standoff at Leeds next year.
Wow.
It's a big call, Phil.
I will have him for the bottom four, then. No, look, he's supposedly a very good player. I've no doubt he is. You know, I've no doubt he's a very good player. But, seeing it with Danny Richardson at the minute, I want to have a word with you about him.
We've been asked this question on social media by Simon. He's had a couple of all new games. What is Scotty's advice to getting the lad back on track?
He has been found out a little bit. I watched him on Friday. I thought he had a poor game.
In what way found out?
He's not taking control. He's not creating anything. About four times on the last tackle, they got caught with a ball, not knowing it was the last tackle. They were awful, St. Helens, awful. Now, they're still only lost by four, so I don't want to make it that bad. You know, Huddersfield, 16-0 up and then just defended their way through the game. But Saints had enough ball to win that game and more games. And I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, I just think teams have worked him out now.
Well, from Richardson's point of view, then what I would say on what you're telling me, then, and I certainly watched him in the semi final. It's quite simple. Then is that the responsibility what has been given on him has been too much, so he needs help from a senior player around him. This is what I talk about with a combination of halfbacks. Is he'll take charge for around about 10-15 minutes, and somebody else needs to take charge to take that pressure off for the next 5 or 10 minutes. So if it's too much being put on him, where he has to do all the organisation, has to do all the kicking, different variations of tactical kicking from there, there's too much pressure being put on him. Some pressure needs to be taken off him. Then
I'm not surprised he would have had a down game after that semi final, because that's the biggest match he would have played in, and psychologically you do have to, you know, go through all that and cope with that. I think the plus for St Helens was they won the second half, didn't concede a point.
It never looked like winning the game, Phil. Make any difference.
But I think
it makes no difference.
What does winning the second half make?
I think it's something to build on for the following week. Coming off that semi-final defeat, when Scoia said they'd win the treble, would have taken the first game back is always the most difficult one. I think if you end that game on top, you've got something to build on the following week. But I'm not surprised Richardson, who, again, too many games. You're playing a big, high-pressure game for the first time in your career. You don't know how to handle the defeat.
I've been saying all along, I said to you, I don't think St Helens are going to win. I said to you, I think the only thing they'll win is the League Leaders' Shield, and I still stand by that. I think they've been found out, if I'm honest.
Is anybody putting a consistent run together?
No,
at the
they're not.
That you'd be confident?
No, and what I would say about St Helens is they're probably in a bad patch of form
at the right time, because
they've got a lot of time. Yeah. They can turn it around, refresh the troops and come back. Do they, though, need to sort out the future of Ben Barber? Because I was there the other night. He dropped two they were awful. The rough bombs. And you just sit there thinking, he does not want anything.
I think they know his future.
Dropped them twice. He caught one. They were jeering him. The home fans were jeering him. And then they made a break and he scored from a pass that must have been 5 yards forward. But he scored and then they're all cheering him. At the end of the game, there were 20 seconds left. Saints turned the ball over. The Giants had the ball. He basically walked over to the sideline, taking his strapping off. As soon as Hooter went, walked straight down the tunnel. Didn't say anything to anyone, walked straight down the tunnel. At the end of the game, 5 minutes after the game, he went in, got changed, and he came out and he was sat in front of us in the press area on his own for about 10 minutes, and then his wife, partner, whatever, came and sat with him. He was there half an hour after the game when I'd gone. He doesn't want to be there.
He doesn't want to be there.
So do they either need to say, right, all right, mate, you don't want to be, off you go.
Yeah, see you later.
Or do they need to come out and say, right, he's leaving.
Yeah.
And Holbrook admitted after the game, it's more than likely he's going to leave. But they need to sort that out, don't they? Because that is becoming an issue for them, isn't it?
They need to announce it in the same way that Warrington did with Tyrone Roberts. So everybody knows where they are. Roberts has played well to get them into a Challenge Cup final. He may well leave with some silverware. So I think the fact that that was bottomed out, Gold Coast have now said we're picking up Roberts for 2 years next season. I think that's had an effect at Leeds as well with Joel Moon, that everybody knows he's leaving at the end of the season, but because it's not been announced, it has an effect. And players.
Can I ask a question? Is he leaving of his own free will, or have Leeds just not renewed his contract?
No, he's leaving. He thinks it's time to go. At the age that his kids are at, that he needs to go back to Australia.
Has he got a club to go to?
Not yet. Not officially.
Who's phone ringing?
Not me. People asking, hasn't it been confirmed that Barber's leaving? Only by the NRL, not by St. Helens.
Only by a website that's called NRL.com but isn't an official NRL website. It's affiliated to it. But yeah, obviously they get to know all the rumours. And I think somebody might have come on social media at the time, but when St. Helens signed Kevin Naguama, that was the biggest indication that they knew Ben Barber wasn't going to be there next year.
Yeah.
And yes, it would help Barber because he's clearly suffering mentally at the moment with whatever turmoil.
He's not in the right. I mean, he might be playing injured. He might be playing injured. We don't know that, but he's done. He's not enjoying it. When he's the fans that are chanting his name for 6 months now are ridiculing him for catching a high kick.
And he deserves better than that because he has been brilliant. But I think also what they've just done with John Wilkin shows the way to go. That, you know, they've now announced that John Wilkin will not be there next year.
Why do we think they're getting rid of Wilkin?
Because I think there's a changing of the guard a little bit.
You know, as much as we've ridiculed him before, I actually think...
We've only said about his kicking game, apart from that.
I think St Helens at the moment are a worse team when he's not on the field.
But they need to show to Morgan Knowles and Luke Thompson that, you know,
Is it not a salary cap thing that they can't afford him anymore because they're spending money elsewhere?
It could be. It might be their
You've
choice.
A lot of money, won't he? Let's be
Again,
fair.
Yeah, maybe the older one has to drop off the tree so that some of the younger ones can be paid for, which is how a salary cap is supposed to work. But the fact that it's been announced and everybody knows, and you know, he can play out the rest of his days at St Helens in the knowledge that hopefully he can finish the season with the glory that his 16-year career deserves. But Barber deserves the same. The sooner it's announced, the better.
Yeah, I think that.
Yeah, I think this, with Barber at this moment in time, not just aware that he's playing, and I say the uncertainty of his future, it's having a massive bearing in the dressing room.
I think they know what's happened,
but it's almost like everybody's got to keep this secret. Just, if you get it out in the open, Barber knows that he's going to be fated for the last few games that he's there, might help them to win a couple of trophies before he goes. And if he goes back to Cronulla, fine. Yeah. I think everybody knew that was likely to happen when they signed him.
He was only putting himself in the shop window to get back to NRL. We all know that.
You talk about journeyman, I'd have one of him every year.
Absolutely.
If he's got something, but he comes and plays like he has done. Whether he's injured or not now, I'd give him the benefit of the doubt, but he just doesn't look a happy human being, and I don't think that's a good position for anyone to be in.
We are the notice board of rugby league because people come to us to promote stuff that's going on.
Shame the RFL don't do the same.
Well, you know, can't have everything. Richard's here, and he says, gents, Midlands finals day at Debdale Mansfield this Saturday. Sherwood Wolf Hunt.
Be careful.
Good job I'm not Nicky Campbell. Versus Telford. And Birmingham versus New Ravens, plus lots of fun. This is the future.
Brilliant.
Mansfield, Sherwood Forest, this Saturday. Lots of untapped potential.
Hope it goes well.
In the Midlands.
Go.
Coventry are looking for students, aren't they? We're looking to recruit students next year as well.
Go and support
new people.
Yeah, but we need development officers around. We need at least.
Well, they've just had their funding and everything cut, haven't they?
You know, we need development officers around, you know. The RFL, please listen. There's loads of talent out there.
Clubs like Birmingham Bulldogs, it's great reward for. They've been going for over 20 years. Mm. Doing a fabulous job, volunteers there, that with no resource in an area where they get no backup and help. And if they've made finals, they're brilliant. Hats off to the Bulldogs.
Elsewhere, Martin says, have Saints learned off Leeds, who maybe with all the old boys aging together left a big hole, phased them out gradually as they're perhaps doing with Wilkin.
They haven't really got any old boys, have they? Saints, I wouldn't say they have.
Not too much. What age is he, Wilkin? 32,
32, I think.
32, so you wouldn't say that's...
34, I think, isn't it?
It'd be a big addition. Someone will snap him up. Although rumours he's off to Toronto.
Well,
he's got his business interests in Manchester, so what he needs to do is stay close to them by signing for Toronto.
Or open a branch in downtown Toronto.
Well, I did enjoy Mason Caton Brown's Instagram story today, where he's on the plane to Toronto, which I don't know if he's going for, you know, look around the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Is he on loan at Toronto? Has he gone permanently?
Well, he's gone permanently, but as of Friday, they haven't paid the fee for him. So Michael Carter and Wakefield have requested that his registration is withheld.
All right.
But given that they lost Liam Kay, didn't they, at the weekend, I would imagine that money will get paid quite quickly so he can play.
I think they lost Matty Russell as well, so they're without wingers.
No wingers.
Is that Leeds? I would sign Wilkin and get rid of Ablett, says Tracy.
Ooh.
Wilkin for Leeds.
It's not a bad shout.
Make him even more likeable.
Won't be a bad shout. John Wilkin, back row for us.
He plays. They look better when he's on than when they don't. Hey, when they take him off.
He's a very, very good quality rugby league player. As I've said many times, I repeat myself.
He hasn't kicked it though for a long time.
Don't kick it, John. Because you know, apart from that, you're a quality rugby league player. He would do a great job for Leeds in the back row, without a doubt.
They're landing in an hour or two in Toronto, says Nicholas.
Plus as well.
Nicholas at the airport.
He would be a far better option at standoff than he was with Carl Ablett. Far better option than Carl Ablett.
Who would you rather have at halfback, Wilkin or Miler? this is a serious question.
What about
question.
Both of them?
Or Miler?
Who would I rather have?
Yeah.
Believe it or not,
Cuthbertson.
I'm having John Wilkin because it's far too.
Even if it meant he was kicking.
You've just had to take it too far, didn't you?
So you reckon Miner's kicking game's been accepted as well this year?
I thought it was good on Saturday.
They were playing to lose, Phil.
It was good on Saturday.
Peter Smith sent me the message to go, Milo were brilliant. I went to him, Peter, I'm 53, I could have done his job on Saturday. Do you know what I mean? Do me a favour, honestly. Eh? I'll repeat it again, and I'm only going to say it once again. Miner will not get us to the Challenge Cup or win us Grand Finals. There you go. With more chance with John Wilkin playing at number six. Simple as that. It won't be a bad signing for Leeds, Wilkin.
Richard's
be a good signing for Leeds in the back row.
The Midlands is the future, says Richard. We are close enough to provide lots of great young lads who dream of playing for the Leicester Tigers but will not manage that. Rugby League is much more accessible for those tough kids from working class Midlands towns. The RFL will have no choice but to listen. Oh, come on, Richard. Come on. Then.
The naivety of youth.
We like all these places.
Anyway, so when are we going to get into the black and whites anyway? Because they are awful.
Right, let's get ripped in. Because there was all this talk when they got knocked out of the cup.
Correct.
How their season was going to start. Their challenge for Old Trafford was going to start.
Well, I'll tell you what. When all that came out, I'll tell you, you know what? The players believed it as well. The players believed it and the publicity from there, yeah. And the reason why we didn't make the Grand Final for the last 2 years is because... You know, with the Challenge Cup, and all right, they didn't perform for 40 minutes. Yeah, go on.
I just want to jump in because I know we're going to talk about injuries. We'll be a part of this conversation. I just want to put on record, right, how pathetic the tweet was from Leeds at the weekend. Oh, we haven't got Callum Watkins, he's injured. We haven't got Matt Parcell, he's injured. We haven't got so-and-so, he's injured. There was about seven, I thought... Get on with it! Stop making excuses! Stop it! So Hull, I would imagine this week, are going to send out a 42 tweet links with all the injuries that they've got. But why do they do that? Yeah, why did Leeds do that?
Say, well, everybody's just going on about injuries and making... It's just excuses for me. But
good,
anyway,
good.
It's just excuses. It's just excuses. But as far as with the black and whites go, yeah, and when the players got knocked out of the Challenge Cup, then it was just a matter of, yeah, we know exactly how to get to Grand Final. We've been to the two semi-finals. We haven't produced for the first 40 minutes, but we just missed out from there. And this is our year. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Them players themselves now, they have believed the publicity. They have been absolutely garbage since they've been knocked out of the Wembley. And certainly now for Lee Radford, because, you know, I've, the respect I have for Rad is not just as a person, but also too as a rugby league player and a rugby league coach. What Lee's got to do now, fellas, is simple. You know, he's got to stop defending them players, because when you look at the players who they've got for next year, there's not much of a change in the squad what's coming from there. There's not a lot of quality coming in. So what Lee's got to do... And when they're defending them after that defeat against Wakefield 4 weeks ago, that 72-10 absolute disgraceful performance in a black and white jersey, and certainly after the performance last Friday night where I saw, I guess you've got to take a little bit of the blame, because they're just boring. Literally boring. I know me and you have had a bit of debate regarding the way the game is played, Mark, from a point of view where, yeah, the backs have been the ball away from now in their own 22, but... Literally, mate, they were doing it for the full 80 minutes. There was no variation whatsoever. And Mark Snead, well, me on Mucker, the doc will tell you exactly the same. He was absolutely pathetic. Pathetic from there. But Rallis has got to take a bit of responsibility of the style of play, what they're doing. Because they're just literally, the two wingers are scooting. Then the two centres. And then it's Jamie Shaw. There's no variation whatsoever. But what I will say is, if Lee is not going to be smart with these players, the way they are performing... And next year, for the first, I would say, the next 6 to 10 games, if they are not anywhere near that top four, then players are going to get Radford the sack. They are absolutely a disgrace to that black and white jersey at this moment in time.
Mm. Let me read, Rich.
Oh, and if any old fans come on and say, score you wrong, well, I'll tell you what, take your heads out of the sand. Take your heads out of the sand. That's simply what them players are serving up now in a black and white jersey is absolutely pathetic. And talking about the first 40 minutes, Wakefield weren't that good in the first 40 minutes. A fair play to Wakefield the second half, the big fellas in Fafita and Paulie in Hampshire, you know, and then Kyle Wood, when he came off the bench, made a great impact. But for the first 40 minutes, the most exciting part of that game was seeing the rain lashing down and a rainbow developing over the stadium. That's how pathetic it was, Matt, to be honest with you, from there. But what I'm saying is for Radders is, I don't know if he wants to listen to any advice or not, but I tell you what, mate, you have got to stop sticking up for them players, because they are going to get you the sack.
Have they made an error in recruiting next year again the likes of Minicello and Manu, who were brilliant players?
They have been brilliant players.
But are they on the other way? Are they going over the top now? And that, you know, Minicello is a solid player. But when he first came to Super League, he was breaking tackles for fun. It looked like he was going to score or create a try every time. I haven't seen him doing that now.
I've not seen him doing that for the last two seasons.
Yeah.
Is the issue up front? Because, again, yes, I mean, obviously the two big injuries are Connor and Kelly. That is going to affect your creative ability. But looking at the team sheet, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8 and 9 are all there. So where's the issue with Hull at the moment?
The issue?
Is it in the forwards? Or
The lot of it. There's no purpose coming from the forwards. There's no variation from the halfbacks. And they say the way that the centres and the wingers are being asked to play, they're just literally being used as battering rams. So it's everything, Phil. Simply everything.
Steve says, was the rain to blame for the first half being poor?
I'll tell you what, it's a good job. It was raining, the rainbow developing, because me and the doctor, we were bored to death as it was. But as I say, but Wakefield in the second half, you know, they were pretty good. You know, but they didn't have to be that good, because Hull was simply pathetic. And you know what? They go to Huddersfield this week, right? They go to Huddersfield
live
this week.
Live on Proper Sport.
They'll go to Huddersfield this week, right? And you know what? Huddersfield will get 40 past the black and whites.
I went 50.
Well, they'll certainly get 40. They will, because they've got the factor six on. They're not really bothered now about the last six games. They're a disgrace to the jersey.
Are you surprised that Jansen Turgut go?
I haven't really seen a lot of him, Philip Beales.
Because, again, when he was coming through the academy ranks, he was one of the players that they were going to build the team around, along with Jordan Abdul. Mm. Jack Logan, I know he's been out injured, but he's at Doncaster with Hakim Maloudi.
You see, with Jordan as well, you know the big problem is with Jordan? It's like many of the halfbacks nowadays, is all they're doing is just waiting till the last tackle to kick the ball. That's all they're doing. And I'm thinking to myself, hold on here. Because I said it to Craig Murdoch again, and I said it to you, Mark, a few times when we've done commentary work, is, listen, I know the game of rugby league has changed a little bit, but surely from 40 metres out, 50 metres out, halfbacks have got to start looking to be playing with that vision and awareness and looking for that bit of creativity. But they're not. They're just stood there waiting for the last tackle to put the ball in the air. And even in the kicking games, no variation. It's all just, the way they're playing, it's all just too predictable. I think boring, boring, boring rugby league.
I think they've missed Mahe Fanua more than they thought they would as well, with such work rate that he had last year, taking pressure off the forwards. Farimo's had a decent first season for a guy who hadn't played really any first-team rugby. But I don't think it's a like-for-like replacement at the moment. Fanua's offered at least an outlet that they just haven't got at the moment for some reason.
Do you know, and also as well, Mark, because I know you like to wind the Hull fans up when I'm over there with you, and Hull fans were coming to me saying, you're being brave coming here, aren't you? I said, well, why am I being brave? I'm here to do a job, why? Well, you know, the way that you criticise us. I went, hold on, are you trying to tell me?
It's an open goal now, isn't it?
I said, are you trying to tell me
what you are watching? You're happy with? They said, well, no, we're not happy with it, but you should be saying it.
Mark's asked why we haven't credited Wakefield. We're going to do that in a moment, but we are Rugby League Media's home of negativity, so we do get the negative bit out of the way by slagging.
Well, I don't think it's negative, I think it's just being honest of what we're seeing, isn't it?
Jacob Miller got the man of the match in the paper. Did he play well against his former club?
Yeah, Miller played very well. Yeah, the combination between him and Hampshire is working very well now, and I say Kyle Wood coming off the bench again, his variation is... He's screwing from dummy half. His service was excellent. Poorly again with the size of that man. He just rips in for Feeder again. Coming back off the bench for the second stint was outstanding. And the wingers themselves, But overall, yeah, the second half of Wakefield was pretty good. They played a lot smarter and believed than what the Black and Whites did.
Did
Danny Houghton play the full 80?
Yeah.
Because, again, I think there are very few teams now that don't put somebody on the bench that can at least cover for the hooker and give him a bit of protection.
Yeah, but Danny doesn't want to come off, does he? So, again...
But is that part of it?
For Radders?
He's going to make his 60 tackles.
Because we all know what Danny Allen brings, but he doesn't bring a lot of variations, does he?
But do you need to bring him off for 10 minutes or so, put somebody with a bit of pace on?
Can you just play him in the back row? Because he's still tackled. He's not bothered. It's not like his size thing, is it?
Well, it's even Warrington at the moment. They're allowing Darrell Clark to play for maybe 70 of the 80 minutes or 65, but Declan Patton is a different option when he comes on. Should Hull be maybe looking for that off the bench?
Derek says Hull have had a poor season and some horrendous injury problems, but it is a squad game and no reserve team rugby has not helped the youngsters when they need to step up to cover injuries and replace players out of form. Agree with the legend. It's Derek.
Thank you very much for that black and white fan. Thank you very much for the respect.
He didn't say it was a black and white fan. He just said he agreed with
him. Yeah, he's all KR fan.
Mark.
Hold on, before. Can we go Wakefield?
Reece Lynn. This is Wakefield.
Yeah, four-year deal. I understand he had a big offer to go to Warrington. Turned it down, happy where he is, new deal. I think he's one of the most improved players in Super League this year.
But also as well, again, when you look at the Reece Lynn, it's a simple fact of, if I go to Warrington, will I be playing week in and week out? No, he wouldn't. So now he's settled. It's an happy environment. It's an environment where he knows he's going to play week in and week out. He knows that the coach is backing him. He's got the confidence from the coach that they play week in and week out. So why would he want to move?
And he's going to go.
How important is it as a player that you are happy?
Not massive.
You know what I mean? I mean, we know you turned down bigger money to go elsewhere, but how important is it as a player? He knows the environment. He's happy where he is. He doesn't need to change it.
Well, to be honest with you, Matt, as I said before, if E. Lawton would have been honest with me and say, listen, I'm here for 4 years, I would have made your life hell, then I would have gone. If I knew what the process was going
to
be.
But he's not the first to buy in, is he? We know Ashurst probably had offers to go elsewhere, exactly. But yet they're happy with what's going on.
I think Corona did as well, didn't he?
But it's massive, yeah. And they say you've got the confidence of the coach from there. You know you're going to be playing week in and week out if forms as it should be from there. When you're coming to work, you're saying, coming away, if you've got a smile on your face, coming into your work makes the job hell of a lot easier.
But he's also going to be going to PNG at the end of the year as part of the England Knights squad, which is part of the process of being an arm put round him at Wakefield and made to feel valued. So, why again, that's got to be worth more than money.
Richie, happy with that?
Yeah, and it's exciting, isn't it, that Wakefield aren't having to bring in a whole new squad of players at the end of the season because they're signing players up, and they have done for the last couple of years on longer-term deals.
By the way, if Bill Tupou doesn't get in the dream team,
he's got to be in. There'll be a conspiracy theory.
When we do the voting, and you know how the voting works, you'll end up with someone from Wigan, because it always is, because they seem to always get loads of players in the team. It's not conspiracy, it's fact.
He's got to be in there, hasn't he, surely?
Yeah, he has to. Especially with Watkins being out for the majority of the season.
Well, what about a selection for Man of Steel as well? There's not too many candidates, is it, if I'm honest with you?
Ben Barber's Man of Steel award.
Not for the last 7 weeks. Not for the last 7 weeks. Not for the last 7 weeks.
I hope Penny's not put the mortgage on it. You know, like Stephen used to say with the TRY.
I put my house on it.
Oh, no, I hope he hasn't. Yeah. Bad times. Gary says, I have a Ribley book called The Match of My Life. Quotes your match as GB versus New Zealand, 2nd of November 1985. Is that still the case?
No, it's Melbourne 92 now. Yeah,
that's it. Send him back, Barry.
Was the 85 what, when you got your four tries?
Four tries at Central Park, yeah, but it's 92 now.
Tony Myler. Brilliant that day, wasn't it?
Tony Myler. Greg tells a story, Tony Myler, with that injury prone, he said he went on Question of Sport and he got injured. You know what I mean? But Tony, I'll tell you,
if he'd have been injury free,
Tony Myler would have been the best standoff we would ever produce. There's no two ways about it.
One of the classiest guys.
He came at Balmain with us in 86 on there, and you know, with the philosophers, the Australians, and they couldn't believe how skillful he was. You know, again, but unfortunately, he still had a bit of a knee problem there. We didn't see the best of him at Balmain neither, but when he did play, even in training, the lads were saying, oh boy, we've never seen a bloke with skills like it. But I tell you what, Nolly were tough. Mm-hmm. Oh, if he wanted to get you, Tony, he would get you. Oh, he could be a nasty so-and-so as well, being a stand-up. But what an absolute pleasure to play with. Absolute pleasure. Loved a pint of Guinness as well.
And his combination with Darren Wright was fantastic. Yeah.
Loved a pint of Guinness.
That's the most important thing, I've said. We are the home of negativity and conspiracy theories. Mark says, it boils my blood whoever loses to Trinity because they aren't playing well, etc. Maybe Wakefield did or do their homework correctly on the opposition and they have a good game plan and generally stick to it. 8-9 sets fully completed. It's 8 out of 9, rather. Sets fully completed. It says a lot just how good Wakefield are.
Wakefield will beat St Helens on Thursday night.
I think Wakefield would like to play Hull every week. Is that 100 points in two games?
Hold on. Keithley would like to play Hull every week.
Hull or West Wales? That's the big question. Or Widnes.
Or Leeds.
Yeah. Rocky says, Mark says, of Rocky Hampshire. Still needs some development, but his goal-kicking is insanely good. Wakefield need a first-class scrum half. That's all they need to become a force in 2019.
He's also said Wakefield will beat Saints on thing. I think Hampshire's got better last couple of months. I have to say that. I didn't think he had the ability to hold down and contribute at half back every week. Well, I could see him filling in there, but to actually say, right, I'm going to be the seven, then I think he's improved.
This is the game, Phil. Matt, this is the game when you've got a coach, and I would imagine Chester and Hampshire had a few conversations about this. So I would imagine Hampshire's put his case forward to Chester, and Chester's put his case there. So they've come to an happy medium. And so then Chester said, right, okay, then I'll give you that responsibility. I'll give you that comment. If you're telling me this is what you want to do, okay, then I'm going to give you that opportunity to prove it to me. So I'm giving you now that confidence. I'm giving you that responsibility to go out there, and not just to prove it to yourself, but prove it to me and the Wakefield fans as well. And that's exactly what's happened. That's exactly what he's
done. If our correspondent there said Wakefield just need a top quality number seven, where would he play Hampshire?
Well, don't know. That's a good point.
Because Miller's obviously clearly earmarked for standoff for the next 3 years.
I'll tell you what as well, the fullback on Friday, Jowett. Oh boy. With the 40-20, then he just kicked the ball away. And I thought to myself, what are you doing that for? It's a dead set 10 minutes. And Chesney after said as well, he was just absolutely dumb. You know, so Yoon Jowett, listen, mate, you know, your opportunities now, you've got it there to make the fullback.
How long's Grix out for now?
I don't know, mate. But what I'm saying about Jowett, listen, you've got the opportunity now to make the number one jersey your property. Please, you're a good rugby league player. Do not be doing daft things like you did last Friday night because, in the end, it might cost you your jersey.
Well, they went
behind you with that now. So learn exactly what you should be doing and cut out the silly little discipline things, or massive discipline things, to be honest with you, because he got Simbin and then Hull scored the try. And then, as I say, you want the number one jersey, you won't get it if you keep doing silly things like that.
So if you were Lee Radford between now and the end of the season, yeah, bearing in mind they can't possibly make the four, what would you do? Would you start bringing kids in? Would you...
Without a doubt. Give kids opportunities.
Well, half the kids are already playing, aren't they?
Well, some of them
are. Isn't that the problem?
Some of them are. Doncaster, aren't they? But to just sling them all in and just say, listen, go out there and expect yourself not to lose. Mm. Nothing to lose.
Find out how good some of the... I mean, Bienik made his day. Did he make an impact when he came on? Louis Bienik, big lad from London?
No. And but it's the style of play, what they're looking to do. So I would say to the whole players, if I was coach, would say, listen, we've nothing to lose. This is the simple game plan, what we're looking to do. Go out there and enjoy yourself and express yourself. And see, there's nothing to lose.
Thanks to Stephen for all his comments. I think we've pretty much summed them up without reading his own. Greg says, I watched Michael Carter on TV. I don't have this channel. Saying they've got 400,000 on their salary cap left. Why don't they go buy a world-class halfback? Because they haven't got the £400,000. Yeah. Maybe they could do a Lee and get the money for as a parachute payment for still being in Super League and spend it. I don't know. Clubs not spending money they haven't got. What a novel idea.
What a novel idea. Going back to Hull, has their season been ruined by going to Australia at the start of the season?
Well, not ruined, but I think it's had an impact.
Derailed?
Yes.
Would that be a better word?
Didn't do them any favours.
I'm not having that. They went out there in February.
Yeah, but they picked up some big injury. Mm. It's almost like it started there. And then they had to play the friendly the week after, a game they didn't need, didn't want. And it's just like unravelled a little bit.
It's like, you know, you're going on about injuries. If you keep looking for excuses, you'll end up with nothing. No, I'm not buying into that. I'm not buying into it.
Okay.
The philosophy's been, they're out of the Challenge Cup, and then they thought, then, right, we're going to have the 2 weeks off. They even said it themselves. Now we've got the 2 weeks off. We've learned from the last two seasons. The Challenge Cup has demised us. That's why we've not got to the Grand Final. Now, they're absolute rubbish.
Mm. Here's our Championship Shield roundup. Lee, of course, could become the second club in the history of the Championship Shield to win the trophy and then disappear.
Yeah.
And come back as the... They were Lee Bears for a bit, weren't they?
Oldham.
No, Lee were Bears as well.
Were they?
Lee were Bears in the early 90s, yeah. Mm. Just like Castleford were Cougars, but everyone forgets this now.
Tell you what, they're Lee Meerkats at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah. Lee Centurions. League One, because Stevens asked us. Workington hold the key back to Cumbria. With them playing us, brackets Bradford this week and York the week after. Brian's asked us, Brian Lawton, don't know if it's any relation. Bradford or York? West Wales.
I just hope it doesn't come down to points difference. We had this debate a few weeks ago about the best thing for West Wales in the immediate, and it wasn't to disband them, it was to stand them down until the new coach arrives, to give them some time to bed in some of the youngsters, and some of those have been in the under-19 European Championship, so there is some talent there. But I cannot think of another semi-professional competition where a team has lost by 100 points. Is it now on 5 or 6 occasions? I hope that whoever gets the automatic promotion place doesn't get it on by how many they beat West Wales.
They had one sub at the weekend. They didn't use.
Yeah, he was never going to come on. They played with 13 players, and that's not the first time. And I'm saying they've got some issues there, and that, yes, they need help. And as a responsible game, we should give them the help that they need. But would it have done them any harm when they'd taken the first 200 beatings to say, look, this can't go on? Because not just the integrity of the club, it's the integrity of the whole League One competition. If Bradford or York go up on points difference because they did better against West Wales, then... No.
You could argue that against some of the other clubs. Emel, you know, did they do better? Who got more points against Emel?
I have never seen a team with a minus 1,500 points.
That's
difference.
Life, Phil. And fair play to them. They keep turning up. I'm not going to criticise that. They keep coming.
I think the competition has been compromised this year.
Well, don't know. I disagree with that. Blame Ralph. Can we get a T-shirt that just says Blame Ralph on it?
Well, this is our new...
That's got to be the one, hasn't it? Blame Ralph.
Welcome to our new...
I want you in the royal box, right, with your suit on. Lift it up and go, Blame Ralph.
I'll get Tom onto it. We'll sort it out.
Are you going to do it? Gary? Mate. We need to get you a big shirt, though, a bit of lift it up, because they're a bit tight, aren't they?
Welcome to the big program.
I must have at least 32s.
I'll tell you what, I walked into Scully's house on Saturday morning, because I had some equipment to pick up, and what a sight... He was sat there on the couch with his shorts on, and nothing else.
Looking like
and
an
I was
going
to take a picture with tweet like, it. Hold on. Tweet it. I looking went, like, Garrett, you do like, not want
like
me.
Looking like an Adonis, ripped, I'll tell you what. You
the only thing that were ripped
me.
Were the elastic on your shorts.
You'd want a shape like me. Don't worry about that. I'm
what,
telling
a circle?
You.
What do I want a shape like a circle for? You're like Mr. Blobby.
That's a bit harsh.
No, it's not. You may have a look at yourself.
You've got to take that back. No. I want an apology
that's
for that.
Like,
you got to say
it's
that
like libel or slander. I can't
remember which one. If you said a Chinese wok, then I'll accept that.
I've got to apologise.
I'll take it back.
I've got to apologise.
I'm like an Adonis.
Because I've got it wrong. There's only one Wigan playing the dream team in the last couple of years. Thanks, Nigel. I must be
anyway, Nigel, what do you make about it? Some of you now BBC Rugby League.
I'm waiting for the call to do the Super League show next
time. Have you heard anything from the Hull fan yet, who was in last week? Has he not come back tonight? No, he won't do, will he?
If they are listening, I'm willing to do the Super League show. I'm more than willing to do that. Sit there and go, welcome to the Super League show. Welcome. Here's some highlights. What else have I got wrong? Dawn says, rubbish, Richard Wigan have, and then pressed enter and didn't release anything else, so I've got something else wrong. Nide says, cast whenever the Cougars they were going to be, but Keith, they got the name sorted first. There was an article, it's great. Perhaps, says Richard, we should stop spending money in South Wales. Well, it's West Wales, but you know what I mean. And start spending 55 miles from Redhall. Midlands rugby, ? Nick says, West Wales conceded fewer points to York second time. Well done on not saying less. So improvement, focus on that. Harsh on Blobby, says Steve.
I've apologised. Right, we need to have a look at what I think was the surprise result of the weekend.
Salford.
What a win for them, beating Hull KR. That was disappointing, I would imagine, for Hull KR, who've got the small matter of the Wolfpack this week. And good news, they've all got the visas.
They've all got the visas, haven't they? But what this does now for Hull KR, it certainly just puts the pressure right back on them, doesn't it?
It does.
You know, because the way Hull KR were playing, and I would imagine everybody tipped in to beat Salford, didn't they? Even though Salford had a good win a couple of weeks ago against Leeds, so a confidence booster, but still, the way Hull KR were playing, all the big game players back, you know, playing with that confidence, they were at home, looking to make it a fortress in these the qualifiers from there, so... Big surprise about that. So now the pressure really is on. And to be honest with you, if they wouldn't have wanted to fix you after that defeat, one thing for sure, it wouldn't have been wanted to run to a Wakefield, would it?
They have to beat the Championship teams.
They do.
Prerequisite. But the first one they're going to is the number one ranked Championship team that is somewhere they've never been before, an atmosphere they've never encountered before, travel that they've never done before. So I'm not 100% surprised that they lost to Salford, but I think the manner of the defeat would be a worry. I don't think any of us thought it would be 28-10. But it's still in their hands, isn't it? Because, you know, what's happened this week? A Championship team has beaten another Championship team. A Super League team has beaten a Championship team. A Super League team has beaten a Super League team. The only dynamic that changed was a Championship team beating a Super League team. Mm. So Hull KR still have it within their hands to turn that around. But you would worry, I think, that if you were looking at Toronto's performance at Halifax, the zero, I think, is a really important indicator of Toronto at the moment. That's a tough place to go to Halifax. That's where they hope to do their damage in their three home games. To restrict them to zero, to then go home on the back of that, I think Toronto are a real potential banana skin for Hull KR. If they're then going into round three on the back of two defeats, they've got to win 5 out of 5.
Who have Hull KR got after Toronto? Because if
Leeds. Leads at Headingley.
For to say, all right, boy, oh boy.
Might as well win then, so win there.
They'll draw.
Hull KR.
Hull KR will beat Leeds at Leeds.
Not with Ablett at stand-off, though.
Oh, mate. Bill, don't get me going. Don't get me going, I'm telling you.
Mind you, the injuries again, you might get a game on the wing, legend.
On the wing?
Yeah.
I'm good on the wing.
You'd be hard to run.
I'm still waiting for... No.
Speed bump.
When they're going to call Lewis for sale, that's what I'm asking.
I'm not going on the wing. You know where I'm going. I'm organising. Don't worry about it. You played with me the other week. You know how I organise and how I communicate. Don't worry about that. But let's be serious here now. You know, but so if they get beat by Toronto, the pressure really...
They have to win 5 out of 5.
So then they go to Leeds on the 1st of September. There's no change there, is there? No change. Oh, they got off to Leeds, okay. Can we go to there, Rich?
We'll do it in a few minutes.
Yeah.
Bear with.
No, but so credit to Salford.
Oh, without a doubt, the young Hastings, you know. I saw him play a couple of times for the Roosters in the NRL from there. So he's a quality player. He's brought that composure, brought that direction. And I guess as well brought the confidence for the players to express themselves. So fair play to bring him over. Watson likes him. He seems to like the style of play. He wants to play at Salford.
Lossick as well played with him at the Roosters reserve grade.
Salford played witness this week, so that's a bargain. That's a bargain. 2 points, isn't it? So
you say that didn't witness beat him twice in Super League?
Yeah,
I think they did. Witness beat Salford, so I'm sure they did.
They won't beat him. They won't beat him this week. No way, mate.
Before I bring you the Rovers fixtures, well done to all the people who say we should do Wreck-It Ralph Rimmer t-shirts. Well done to you. You are very clever. We had a message earlier from Mike. Hulk Hour was shocking on Friday. Need a massive improvement. Sadly, we're keeping Atkin in the halves and spell Carney. We'd heard a few people saying
Lunt wasn't fit, apparently.
Out of position. After the trip to Leeds, it's Halifax and London at home, so must-win games there. To lose away,
which won't be easy.
And the big one on the 30th of September, and this goes back to, if you remember back when they were in the £1 million game a couple of years ago, they had that game against Huddersfield on the Saturday before, which if they'd won, they would have been safe.
And lost by a drop goal.
They play Widnes at home. And, you know, Widnes, you'd expect might have picked up a win or two by then.
Would you?
Well, might have picked up a win. Might have picked up 0 wins.
Is he been drinking? It's changed since he's been on the BBC.
Rich, we're not a fantasy island, you know. Witness getting a win, no chance.
I thought maybe against Halifax, but you're right, actually, aren't you? Halifax have got spirit in them, and Witness haven't got that. That could be the big game, 30th September, Hulk Hour Witness.
To qualify for the £1 million game, to avoid relegation.
Yeah.
Mm, could be.
It's all bad times.
So Salford, well done to them. I'd written them off. I thought they'd gone. They've come up with the money, or Mr. Kukash has to get these players in on short term.
What happens after that? Let's assume they stay up.
Rinse and repeat.
He has then withdrawn his financial backing, because I think we're all under the impression that he doesn't want them to go down this year because he feels it would reflect on his time at the club. Mm. So I don't think there'll be any buying a Jackson Hastings next year if they're in trouble. So we talked about, quite rightly, what the Widners bring. Where does Salford go?
Well, I think they bring even less than Widners, honest. Yeah. But
do they have backers, do you think, that are ready to come in if they stay in Super League? There's rumours of Chinese.
We spoke to the gentleman who's running the club, the debt management guy, and he had great plans, but they were all based on being in Super League. Well, if they're in Super League, then they've got half a chance.
You'd hope.
Yeah, you would hope. You would hope. But we can only wait and see, you know, and if they do stay up, then fair play to them. I'd be pleased for Ian Watson, I think.
I like Watson, yeah.
Dealt a bum hand, really, but he's...
Yeah, I like Watson. I like the way that he wants his team to play.
And I think he's stayed consistent to his principles as well, and it would have been easy to just go, let's do 5 drives and a kick and not lose. I think he's won...
That's his philosophy, Phil. Philosophy.
He hasn't changed it as they slipped down the league. Say, look, let's do anything to buy a win. He's still kept wanting to play the way that he believes the game. But Martin Gleeson is important there. Willie Poaching's important there. I think they've got a really good coaching group.
But also as well, though, Phil, they've added a bit of quality. That's what they've done. Mm-hmm. Quality of player, you know.
Can they afford to buy Jackson Hayes? If he is the answer, and he certainly has been in the first two games.
Well, to be honest with you, he's just put himself in the shop window, isn't he? That's all he's doing to get back to NRL.
Salford need to buy him, though, don't they, if they're serious about staying if he does the job and keeps them up, then he's available, because they've only signed him till the end of the season. Mm-hmm. Do they say, right, you know, you've seen the setup we've got here, you've seen the players that we've got here?
I think if we rub the Disney bit off of that, we can use that. If we rub the Disney bit off of that, we're using that.
Just a random cast mascot on Scully's
head. Who's done that?
The AS Vikings.
Yeah.
Rub out the Disney bit and we are using that. We are using that. Must do better.
Why is my head on there? I'm getting blamed for this. Hold on. Let Wembley get home with me.
I haven't seen the new Sky intro, but I saw the robots that are ours now. We must have bought them.
Well, we've nicked them.
Well, exactly. We ain't got a receipt. We've bought them, but we can't provide a receipt if asked for. Have you seen that? Did you like that?
I haven't seen it.
Haven't you seen the show score?
Tom was going to show you a bit.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's brilliant.
You'll love it.
Is it me again, is it?
No, it's all of us. Yeah. It's all of us playing rugby. You want to see the pass from Kaplan.
It's a good pass.
Although I understand someone questioned the fact that his robot didn't have a knee bandage.
He's got the knee bandage.
Yorkshire Pros questioned it.
He must have had his knee oiled, so that's why tie the bandaging on.
Yeah. So if you ever wonder what is proper sport, it's just people messing around all day, like making up rugby teams in North Korea and getting the videos of the robots off of Sky and putting our heads on it. That's what we do. That's what you're here for. That's what you want to watch.
Yeah, exactly. There it is. So you go watch that then, Gary. Can you see it?
Oh, boy.
He's nicked the Sky titles. Don't tell him. Don't tell Sky.
Sure, right. It's running as well. I thought he's got a bad ankle.
Well, there.
Yeah, wait till you see
what
this.
What about the no-look pass? Hold on. Who's that smashing me?
I'm not. Robots, isn't it? There's Mick Gledhill pushing someone off. There you go. And Jai in the corner.
Yeah.
Tom Maguire
dropped
it. Knocking on. Yeah. Look at Kaplan. No-look passes.
Yeah. I'm playing the interception. It was Ollie Holmes and...
That's all right, that's going, isn't it?
Yeah, who put the shot on me? I'm not having that. I never got tackled.
Robots, innit?
Hey, I never got tackled.
Robot.
Any robots?
Yeah, robot. Yeah, robot.
Division and awareness. I'm not having that. No. Getting smashed.
RIP robot.
There you go. So, yeah, we've stolen them.
Did I have my glasses on? Did you?
No eye tackles, you're all right.
Should we mention Wigan and their coaching
appointments? Yeah, go on then.
Does anybody want to talk about that on social media?
I think there's been a few. If you haven't seen the robots, it's on our Facebook now as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
I want that Wreck-It Ralph thing to come back without that Disney badge on and we're having that.
Tim says, ahem, Sean Edwards, prompting us to talk about this. Dawn saying, disappointed about George Williams coming out saying he wants to leave Wigan. There's no one who will benefit more than him from the newly appointed...
So George Williams wants to leave Wigan?
His bank balance would benefit.
Yeah.
Why and why has he said he wants to leave?
Because Newcastle Knights want him, I think.
Also, he wants to go to the NRL as well, does he? Yeah, anyway, yeah, with Sean coming back, yeah, great to have him back in the game. We all know what a success he's been in reviewing from a defences point of view, but he's always been in contact with coaches and, you know, players throughout the 19 years he's been away, certainly the race he has with Wayne Bennett and others. So he certainly knows
The new Leeds coach, Wayne Bennett?
Ah, oh, please, Phil. Phil, I'm going to strangle you in a minute if you keep going. But, welcome back, Sean. And I say, when he did the big interview in the League Express about 8 weeks ago, and the important factor there was, yeah, I know the game's changed, and the important factor I've got to decide, I've got to make the right choice as well in two quality assistants. So that's an interesting point of view, who he's going to appoint his assistants. His philosophy on the game, when I've read his piece in the League Express today, is, you know, he wants the players to play. You know, open, attractive rugby league there. So,
what squad is he inheriting? Because let's be fair, yeah. Wigan now are a selling club. Mm. All they do is sell their best players. That's all they do. Sell their best players. Sutton's going. Bateman's going. Looks like Williams is trying to engineer a way out.
Tompkins is going.
Or Lachlan. If he does another season, I'll be amazed.
I was going to say, are the two assistants not O'Loughlin and Luluai, who've already been told they're going to be on the staff?
Well, I don't know. My point is...
Pete and Bitcon have gone, haven't they?
Well, I didn't know this, yeah, but you told me this.
But
yeah.
Also as well, are these players leaving because Sean Wayne's leaving?
I think so. I don't know about the Bateman and Sutton one, because they'd gone well before...
Well, certainly with the George Williams one, it looks that way.
I'll tell you what... And Sean Wayne said he was disappointed with the timing of the interview. I think Sean Wayne last week must have thought, hang on, I'm the coach at this club.
Absolutely.
Is anyone still know me? Is my name above the door?
Mark, I'm just going to say that. Last week, that was total disrespectful
to
Sean Wayne.
Disgusting.
You're getting Sean and Lammy on there, and you've got the Chris Ladlinski and Ian Lennigan from there. Where's the head coach, Sean Wayne? It was absolutely
on the day they should have been previewing the biggest game of the... Super 8s, the home game against Castleford.
Total disrespectful to Sean Wayne.
I feel really sorry for Sean Wayne. I'm reading between the lines now here. That story came out because Sean Wayne is not happy what's going on. That Williams story. That's why that came out on the other day.
I thought there were two things. First of all, I think it's great to have Sean Edwards back. I think that is a coup to bring him back. I question the fact that they've got to wait till 2020. I cannot imagine if this had been a conversation with Maurice Lindsay and Sean Edwards had said to him, I'll see you in a year. Maurice Lindsay would have said, no, I know you're loyal to Wales, but you're coming now, because if we want you. We're Wigan. We're not, you know, we're above.
Yeah, but Wigan don't buy people, they sell them.
Right. But I would have had him in this year. But I think the issue...
Well, here's a question for you, Phil. If they'd have said to him, right, if you want the job, you come in now, would you taking it?
Well, that...
That's on him, not on Wigan. If they'd have said, right, we'll pay the money, but you come in now, would he come? I don't think he would.
I think the other things that are odd is that, obviously, there's an implication that they're coming in to play a different style of rugby to the Sean Wayne style, which I think this year is disrespectful. I think there was obviously an issue in 2017 that Wigan played a style of rugby that wasn't successful but wasn't particularly entertaining, and that had an effect on crowd figures. But I think for both Adrian Lamb and Sean Edwards coming and say we're going to revolutionise the way Wigan play doesn't take account of the way they've played this year. I think they've been one of the more entertaining teams that we've been watching for most of the season. And that's down to Sean Wayne changing the way that he asked them to play.
You think as well, and another interesting point is Ian Lanigan saying this position became available because Sean Wayne was leaving.
That's the other bit I was going
to
say.
Sean Wayne doesn't want to leave Wigan. Sean Wayne wants to be at Wigan until he's 65, 70 years
old. Can we just call it as it is, Scully?
Yeah, exactly.
We were told before it was announced he was going because Sean Edwards was coming in 2020. I think, and this is my honest opinion, I think Ian Lanigan has been caught talking to we'll get Edwards in. Wayne has found out and gone, you can get, I'm not having this.
You're not undermining
I'm
me.
Not having this. Exactly. I'm off at the end of the season.
Exactly.
And
but he's blaming Sean, saying this position is available because Sean wanted to leave.
Disgusting.
Sean doesn't want to leave Wigan.
No, he doesn't.
Never.
He'd say what he wants, dress it up as he wants. He is a Wigan man.
Absolutely.
And we always said, where's he going to get another job because he's so Wigan?
Correct.
How can he work anywhere
Sean Wayne would still be at Wigan until 65. It's like the Alex Ferguson, you know, building teams and building teams and building teams. There's no way made that Sean Wayne would leave Wigan. And Lennigan's just trying to put the spin on this as though Wayne has caused his problem. As he
and Lennigan, who wants more money into the game, he wants to stop selling his best players.
So
that's what he wants to do.
Is this a economic strategy to get Wigan fans to buy season tickets on bringing in a coach rather than losing players?
It is the Wigan equivalent of what Etherington's done at Leeds. Kevin Sinfield coming in. Oh, Kevin, when he walked out that day, oh, the Messiah's here. The rugby got any better? No, you've beaten Widnes and Toulouse. Leeds are still rubbish like they were before. And they would have stayed up if McDermott had stayed. They would have stayed up. They might have scraped into the eights and they'd have stayed up. There's no way. Richard and I would have loved it if they'd have got relegated. It was never going to happen. It's never going to happen.
But
they've got him in because he's buying off the fans. And you know why he's doing it? Because Etherington and Leeds, their recruitment's poor and they haven't got the money to put it right in the short term. And Lennigan's doing exactly the same thing.
Is this an attempt, as season tickets go on sale, to say to the fans of Wigan, please come and support the team, but not actually address who's going to be playing for the team?
Yeah. What is their team going to
because
look like next season?
On Thursday, it was, again, classic attempted media management. We announced first thing in the morning that one of arguably our best player this year, and probably their best player over the last 2 or 3 years, admitting that Sean O'Loughlin is their best player when he plays, but John Bateman consistently.
Yeah.
So on the morning of the announcement that Sean Edwards and Adrian Lamb are coming, you announce your best players going.
Yeah.
Do the Wigan fans see through that? I don't know.
Well, ask them. They're out there on Twitter, aren't they, and Facebook.
I have to say, and Richard's brought up Sean Edwards being at least has coaching experience, which Kevin Sinfield doesn't have. So it's
Kevin Sinfield isn't the coach.
He's not the coach. James Lowe's has got a great record as a coach, though.
No, but Kevin Sinfield isn't the coach.
He says. Apparently I'm sarcastic, I was told on Last Tackle last week. I don't believe that for a second. Richard says we should get outside the M62. This is a programme which does actually, apart from Scott, he hates everyone, but we are genuinely... We support all the teams outside the Heartlands. We're big fans of Newcastle and Coventry and the work they're doing.
And Toronto.
It's other programmes that stick to, we've got to support the Heartlands and all that kind of crap.
Richard said Sean Edwards could pick his job right up until the All Blacks were all. Why did Sean Edwards not go on the Lions tour then? Despite the fact that his mate was picking the coach.
I think it's great that he's coming back. I genuinely do.
He's coming back on his own terms,
But I don't know how you can make such a big deal about someone who isn't coming back for another year.
Exactly. What happens if Adrian Lamb and Wigan win everything next season? What happens then?
What happens as well with this John Bateman's re-signed on a marquee contract when his time is up in 3 years at Canberra? Surely that can't be right.
And again, I
throw that out to
they
the Wigan
buy them
fans.
All back, don't do, they buy
do,
them all back.
Yeah, but how do we know he'll have marquee contracts? How do you know he'll be fit? How do you know he won't want to stay in? I mean, do Wigan fans buy into the fact that it's okay for Bateman to go because he's already signed a deal to come back? Or Is that not Yestin Harris in disguise? And we saw what happened
if
to
John
Bradford
Benton
when that
goes to the NRL and plays like we know he can.
He won't be coming back in 3 years.
He ain't coming back to Super League anytime soon. Yeah,
but if they're longer than 3 years, that's for sure. Yeah. What age is he now, Bateman? 24,
24.
25?
He's perfect. He's absolutely at his physical peak.
So, he could be there for at least 6 years, without a doubt.
One for our younger listeners. It's like when Henry Paul left Wakefield. Yes, he played for Wakefield. He got to Auckland, and then when he came back, he didn't come back to Wakefield. That's somewhere else. I'm enjoying Fraser, who's trying to troll people on our Facebook today about rugby union being
just
better than rugby league.
Blocking.
He says the Aviva Premiership is the best league in the world in rugby. It's the Pro 14, because that's on Free Sport, and we all know Free Sport is the home of all the best sport.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, Fraser, because you're bumping the listeners up.
Yeah.
It's all we care about is numbers.
It's a rugby league show, Fraser.
Yeah. So show for everyone. There's only one club in Cumbria, says Eddie, and that is Workington Town, up the mighty town.
Leon back at Bradford this week. He's doing a good job.
He is.
You can see that game live.
Do you think the Workington directors will be welcome after what happened with the streaming debacle last time? Do you think they'll be welcome?
I wonder if any of them will stay at home and watch the stream instead of having to go to the game. Seriously.
Bit of hospitality.
Yeah.
Dawn says, I think Wigan has... I think Wayne has been treated poorly. Happy Edwards is coming, but Sean Wayne has done so much for the club. And Lennigan and Rads have handled this really badly. Not as badly as I read this, Dawn. For me, he's been pushed out. Yes, we need a change by an attacking coach, but it all stinks, as far as I'm concerned.
I tell you what, if Lennigan and Radlinski were out in Wigan one night and Wernie saw them and they were in a dark alley, oh boy.
Not sure you can say that.
Please don't enter it for about 5 minutes.
Do you think the Adrian Lamb connection? Yes, he's coached assistant in Australia, but is part of that to get Lachlan Lamb in as a halfback because they know George Williams is going?
I don't know, mate. I don't know. I just feel very, very sorry for Sean Wayne. I feel he's been totally disrespected by the main people at Wigan from there. He's done a fantastic job. The servant he has been to that club, say not just as a player, as a scout, as an under-16 coach, an assistant coach, and now the head coach. Does somebody really deserve to be treated like that?
I also thought... Again,
I know, we all know sport's a funny thing, and we all know you don't eat a piece of meat from there. But, hey, but listen, Sean Wayne could quite easily win the grand final this year.
Yeah.
They're second in the league at this moment in time. They're sitting pretty. Second, they could easily win the grand final. I just find it totally disrespectful
to the man. They do, because then I'd love to hear what he said in there. Because he had a bit of a pop at the press last time out because they were having a go at him. I wonder if he might come out and say exactly what's gone on.
I hope he does.
And say, I don't want to leave. I hope he does.
It would surprise me if he did as well.
And you know what worries me about it all? Lennigan wants to run rugby league. He can't even run his own club properly. That's what worries me.
Well, sticks going in the cupboard. The door is open, Sean. Welcome to join us.
Yeah.
Speaking of,
we'll stick him down that dark alley that you want to meet Ian Lennigan and Chris Radlinski.
Get well soon, Joe Bullock. Martin Simpson has tweeted us because he likes mushy peas as well. #Hashtag bring me mushy peas. Scully, not the only person who likes peas. So there you go.
Peas on toast.
It's another T-shirt you can buy.
I see Wreck-It Ralph has come back with the Disney thing on.
Do you want me to retweet that? We're going to get in trouble.
No, retweet it. Let's have a look at the picture. I want to see it.
So when we see him next week at Wembley, we're not allowed in.
I'm going as a fan, so surely they can't keep me out. I'm one of the few silly people paying.
Are you paying full price though? Getting a
you will be paying.
Well,
exactly.
I've asked a few questions.
Yeah,
I paid to go into an academy game this week and thoroughly enjoyed every minute of it.
Did you? Well,
the person who last week said we never pay to get in.
It was
brilliant.
Greg says, don't forget, we're going to sign the best fullback in the world. Oh, come on, Greg. Come on. Don't say that.
Who's that?
Well, we're not going to name
who's him. Who's that? Best fullback in the world, mate.
Quinton Lalu Tagaga.
He could be the best fullback in the world.
Who'll sign? John Gallagher.
Well, they like rugby union now, so he was in Sean Edwards' contact.
Today's show, by the way, is brought to you by Ponyfoot Racers In The Zone Family Day, which is this Sunday, August the 19th, experience the final brilliant family fun day of the season with tons of special events. In The Zone fun days are the perfect way... Oh, my phone's gone off. For all the family to learn about racing. It's professionalism. You can walk the course, get a behind-the-scenes tour, and meet famous horses from the past. There's also a funfair face painting circus and a hunt the Golden Horseshoe competition. And not forgetting about the racing, there's the £60,000 Highland Farm Flying Fillies listed race with some very speedy equine ladies on display. So put your family package tickets for Sunday, 19th of August. Head to pondy-racers.co.uk. I think we should be doing some rugby league games, inviting new people in by saying, look, this is what rugby league is. Talk to some.
What, even perhaps have a fans zone at Wembley, maybe, and put some of those things in.
Yeah, something good rather than loud music and people being boorish.
Okay. Right, we're going to do our predictions now. We'll start with the legend, Wakefield. One of our live games this week, Wakefield Saints Thursday night.
It's an interesting fixture, isn't it?
You're all right to do that.
Yeah, Thursday.
You're with a doc.
And
Chip
Butty. Sorry?
Chip Butty.
Chip Butty, yeah. Oh, yeah, what about the idiot at Hull as well?
I didn't know you
are. Can you tell me what your name is?
Oh, yes. Gary got asked to identify himself in the media room.
After I got into the media room, after I'd been given a piece of paper, I'd been given my programme, been given my ticket, and then this idiot, excuse me.
Were you having your soup at the time?
Yeah, I was having my soup and my cup of tea.
You eat that soup?
And then he just said, can you tell me who you are? First of all, I said George Clooney. And then he just laughed like you fellas have just done. And I just said I'm the legend anyway, so he went. But so Wakefield Saints, I think it's a very intriguing fixture. And the way that, Wakefield are playing with that confidence. You know what, fellas? I'm going for Wakefield to beat Saints, and I'm going Wakefield by 11.
I think Saints do need to hit back from the two defeats they've just had. Don't know if the Barber issue will be settled by Thursday. Probably not, but I'm going to go Saints very narrowly.
Having been robbed, of course, by the referee at the Totally Wicked Stadium earlier in the season, Wakefield.
Yeah, I'm going Wakefield. Cass Warrington. Hopefully it won't be as wet as it was last time they met.
So they won't need to flip as well. Warrington, even though a good performance against Catalans are thinking about Wembley. Warrington, week before Wembley, we all know what happens. Cass players have been looking to put a marker down now for the top four. So I think Cass will win quite easy, if I'm honest with you. I'm going Cass by 18.
Yeah, I think Warrington will rest a few with Wembley in mind. Huddersfield could still get in the top four, but I still think we've got the top four at the moment, so I think Cass will win this quite
convincingly. I'll tell you what, though, daft as it sounds, if Huddersfield do win and Warrington lose, well, then Huddersfield beat Warrington.
Exactly.
They're only one behind.
Yeah, and they'll have to play each other.
So you're going for
Phil? I'm going Cass quite convincingly.
Yeah. Rich?
Tigers.
Yeah, I think I'd have to agree with that. Huddersfield, Hull.
Simple. Hull are rubbish, Huddersfield by 46.
I'm amazed you haven't gone with an odd number.
But they won't need a drop goal.
That doesn't matter. It doesn't stop you every prediction going 41. With an odd number. They might go 1-0 up. Danny Brough might put some 1-0 up.
When I put my predictions out on Twitter, they'll be different to these, don't worry about that.
If Danny Brough puts some 1-0 up, I'm
46-0. 46 points, Huddersfield against that load of rubbish over in the black and white.
I just don't think Hull have got anything left to play for this season. Whereas Huddersfield do still have an incentive, so yeah, I can't say anything other than Huddersfield win.
Giants,
yeah.
Catalan Wigan.
Yeah, again, Wembley, isn't it? It depends what sort of side McNamara puts out. I'm not so sure they're ain't fussed. They're not bothered. Ella Wigan are.
Well, they're 2 weeks away from history. If they could forfeit on Saturday, wouldn't they?
Yeah, exactly. So that's what they'll be doing. I'm going Wigan. I'm going Wigan to win by 10.
I think the Dragons will want to go into Wembley with a bit of form. I think he will play a lot of the guys because he'll want to keep his rest week was this week. He'll want a send off from the home fans as well. I'm going the Dragons.
Do you remember Sean Wayne was going to be the Catalans coach? Wigan.
I'm going to go Catalans as well. Salford Widnes.
There's only one winner here. Widnes are garbage. Salford easy. Salford by 26.
I think it'll be closer than that.
How's it going to be close?
Because I think this is a last throw of the dice for Widnes. I think they will.
We've been saying that for 17 weeks.
Yeah, that's true.
Phil, I know Francis is your mate, but come on. Be realistic. The guy in Salford easy.
Well, Salford narrowly.
Salford.
I'm going to strangle him one of these days.
Toronto Hull KR.
Who are you going for? Salford, I assume.
Yeah.
An interesting one, isn't it? I just feel as though Toronto at home. face too much pressure for Hull KR. I'm going to Toronto to beat Hull KR by 10.
First Super League team to play in Canada. Toronto not beaten a Super League team yet. I've just got a sneaky feeling that the Wolfpack might do it.
Apologies for all those people who tweeted us and messaged us about Toronto, and I forgot to read them all out because we've been busy tonight. I'm going to be sat at work wearing my Toronto Wolfpack t-shirt I got from Mascot Browns and supporting Toronto.
I'm going Hull KR because I think
they can't afford to lose.
They can't afford to lose, and I also think Toronto beating Halifax 14-0 is a bit of a... Nah. And everyone said, oh, Halifax were great. Halifax defensively have always done all right
in the second best defence in the Championship.
But they can't score points. And I think 14-0, that doesn't impress me. I'm going Hull KR. I think Hull KR will beat him. Toulouse, Halifax.
I like Toulouse every time I see them play from there. And that Jonathan Ford, I tell you what, can he play? His ball skills are
fantastic. He's tall, isn't he, though, for a standoff?
Oh, he is. He's tall, lanky. And he doesn't look an athlete, does he? But anyway, Woofy for sure, he can play the kid. Too much for Halifax. I'm going to go Toulouse by 18.
I think Toulouse will get a lot of confidence from the way that they played for an hour at Headingley. I think it's a tough ask for Halifax to jump on a plane after the physical game against Toronto. So I'm going Toulouse.
Allez le bleu.
Halifax.
Allez le bleu, Sox.
There you see, I knew what it meant. London Leeds. I'm going Toulouse. London Leeds.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
This is the man who went to lose.
Boy, oh boy. Well,
anyone who believes this prediction.
Future coach.
I don't even know why we bother doing yours.
Why?
Because they're rubbish.
We
say how it is on this show. Your tips are rubbish.
Bookmakers are listening to set their lines.
You get one right every blue moon.
I got three right this week.
Yeah, they're eight games.
Well, it's not bad.
As a teacher once said to me when I failed a chemistry exam, he went, I could have got a monkey off the street, could have done better than that. I would say the same with you and your tipping. Here's our mystic
next
monkey.
Here you have, give me a bunch of bananas. Well, after London's great win against Widnes, and then I say Leeds, well, yeah, they got the victory. Ablett at number six, not convinced.
No Ryan Hall.
No Ryan Hall.
Luke Briscoe, presumably on double-double-double dual registration.
Gerard Samet is saying yes. We're looking to get into Super League. I'm going to London by 8.
I mean, I hope he's right. It's a bit hilarious.
Leeds will grind it out. Like they did the last time they played London in the qualifiers.
Yeah.
You two prats going for Leeds.
As a proud London, I'm a sponsor of the club.
Honestly,
I'm a sponsor of the club.
You two
can't
stand Leeds on there, and now you're going to go for Leeds.
Yeah, reverse psychology.
The big thing is, can they match up what they did on Thursday? And as we said, when Leeds beat Widnes, it doesn't count. So London have beat a team really where it don't count.
Here, so get a bunch of bananas, you monkey.
Sadly for me, I think it'd be like this where there'd be another big high scoring game. They'll just have enough leads.
What's Ablett like with throwing interception passes, though? That's
it. Kieran, oh, don't throw passes. He's not
pass.
There to throw passes.
So, yeah, so that's it. We've got three live games. Wakey Saints on Thursday, Friday's Huddersfield Hull, and it's Bulls Workington on Sunday. Which
that'll be an interesting game.
It will.
Because I think Workington will test Bradford, but...
It will.
You can't see the Bulls losing, can you?
Yeah, we've had Wakefield fans in complaining already that Scorries tipped them to win at the weekend. Sorry about that. We have just ruined people's weekend.
Carl genuinely has two tickets for you for Wembley, by the way.
All right. Okay. Fair enough. I need four, mate. I need four. So sorry.
What about mine?
That. Yeah, Scorry will sort me somehow, I'm sure. Can you get me sat next to you in the Royal Box?
No.
They still need somebody to present the cup. You could offer.
I'll present
in my Wreck-It Ralph t-shirt.
Don't be getting me on this, I'm telling you.
Please welcome to present the cup. We couldn't get Meghan Markle. Here's her dad.
Near as a royal family. Anyway, we better move on. Our thoughts with Ryan Hall. Hopefully he gets well soon. Deserved a bigger send-off than leaving the field injured. For his time, also, not with Leeds,
just
but
quickly,
Omar,
condolences
well.
To the family of the Leeds supporter who unfortunately
yes,
sadly
Ray
passed
Green.
Away
Raymond,
and, yeah. in it, on at the weekend. So all you know, the condolences and thinking of all the family of the,
yeah.
the great Leeds supporter.
Exactly, completely agree. And I see some money's being raised for his family as well. That's as far as we go. Thanks to everyone that's joined in. Don't forget, podcast available shortly. See you next week.